Hello, fellow homebrewers. JP here, and I want to introduce to you the brand new Brewbuilt X1 Conical Series available at More Beer. More Beer sells the highest standard in homebrewing equipment, and the Brewbuilt Conicals are just that. They're made from mirror-polished 304 stainless steel, and they come with loads of features that you and I have been looking for. They have a full 2-inch bottom dump valve, which will eliminate your clogging issues, while the sturdy base includes 4 reinforced legs, just like those big pro tanks do. More Beer also carries the Brewbuilt line of options and add-ons like casters, pressure kits, and even external glycol chillers. So you can find out more about the new Brewbuilt X1 conical uni tanks by going over to morebeer.com for detailed videos on the entire line of Brewbuilt conicals. You can trust Brewbuilt with your next fermentation, and you can trust More Beer to find the right conical for you. Brewbuilt at morebeer.com.
Feels like work. Shooting the shit for 2 hours, drinking beer and talking beer. What a wonderful experience.
Can we not have the barf bucket near my mixing board?
I think everybody can read the book.
I knew you were going to use this book as an excuse to quit doing this show.
Mrs. Bub, if you want, I can mail you the Bub Timer.
Yeah, Newcastle. Especially in the can. Have you ever had it in the can? No, I have not had it in the can.
Notice I closed my eyes and I concentrated really hard.
Now, live from the Brewing Network studios in Northern California, this is the radio program for home brewers, craft brewers, beer lovers, and beer geeks. It's your only source for live beer radio that brings expert brewers together with, well, expert drinkers. This is the radio program with a head on it. This is The Session.
Good day, boys and girls. Welcome to The Session here on the Brewing Network. I'm your host, Justin Crosley. Joining me today as co-host is Sully.
Hey, hey, hey.
Sean,
I'm back.
Sean Sully O'Sullivan from the 21st Amendment Brewery, of course. Bevo is in her fishbowl cage.
Hi.
Today, and JP's on his way, apparently.
Hi.
Yeah. It's good to see you again, Sully. It's been you haven't done a show with us in a little bit.
It's been a little bit. I'm excited to be back in the saddle here. I'm excited for today's show, actually.
We've got... Today's an international show. We've got Canadian brewers on the program today.
Did you check their passports and all that and make sure their visas are in line? Because
I didn't bother. You know, it's California. We don't care. Aren't we like a refugee state or something,
whatever it's called? Anybody can come in. Any state that you are, you can come in.
Even the Canadians.
Yeah,
we're going to be talking to Block 3 Brewing out of Ontario, Canada. They came down all the way to the U.S. to do the show with us, so that's a lot of fun for us. So we'll be talking to them. Today's show, of course, brought to you by the good folks over at More Beer. Go to morebeer.com, and when you do your purchasing there, because they have everything you need and probably more, make sure you send them a little thank you note for supporting this program, which they've been doing, just like Sully, for like going on 15 years.
It's insane.
Yeah.
I think I paid for this table.
Yeah, over and over again, probably. Yeah. Yeah, in fact, this June at the Homebrewers Conference, the Homebrew Con in Nashville, Tennessee, will be our 15th year.
Oh my God.
As a podcast.
Jesus.
So, yeah.
That's wild to think about.
I think that there's probably only a handful of podcasts of any genre that have been around for 15 years, because we were like right at the start there.
You should just pat yourself on the back right now.
I do that. That's my, you know, there's not a ton that I'm proud of, but that's one of them.
I think we did your first anniversary maybe at the 2-1-A.
Yeah, we fit in the mezzanine. Most of it was computer equipment in order to do a remote broadcast.
Because back in the day, you had big cabinets as computers. You just didn't have these small little desktops. You had like a laptop. You had to bring in like this.
Yeah.
You know.
Now everything fits in one case when I go do well, two, to be fair. But so we've been at it for a while.
That's awesome.
More Beer's been with us that whole time, as well as the 21st Amendment. I feel like while we've grown up together, you guys grew a little taller than the Brewing Network did. I talk to Vinny about that sometimes, too, because he likes to say, well, we've grown up together. And I'm like, Yeah, but you guys have like multi-million dollar businesses. I'm in the bar version of my garage.
It's way better though.
It is better. And yeah. I'm proud of it too.
You should be.
You know, the bills get paid. That's all. There's no yachts involved, but the bills get paid.
Yeah, there'll be a yacht one day.
That's right. More of a dinghy, but whatever. on today's show, like I said, we've got Block 3 Brewing, out of Ontario, Canada, and they're big on mixed fermentation beers. They have they even have a cool ship, so we're going to be talking about stuff like that with them. Pretty sure they've been touring the Bay Area all day, making the most of their visit.
So checking it out?
Yeah, so we'll see if that also means they've been drinking all day. I don't know what.
No.
Yeah. People don't do that,
they've
right?
They've been to coffee bars.
When they come to the Bay, yeah. They have tea and coffee all day long. So that should be a good time. And after today, only one show left of 2019.
This is it. End of the decade.
Yeah. And then coming 2020... is the Brewing Network North American Tour.
Oh, okay. I remember you talking to me about that. I don't know if you officially talked about it.
Yeah, it's been officially announced. It doesn't really start until April, actually. But so the first couple months will be done here in the studio. But come April, the BN hits the road.
That's going to be great.
You're going to join us on parts of it, right?
I'm actually going to be with you the whole time, Justin.
Great.
I quit the 21st Amendment.
And I love it.
You know, I got a pair of underwear and a jacket, and I'll be there right with you.
I've got beds for you.
Okay.
I got a bed for you. Yeah.
No, that's going to be exciting.
It's a lot of fun. I'll be in New Zealand for all of March. not doing shows from there, but definitely videoing a bunch of content. I'm going there for their hop harvest. And then starting in April...
So you don't have a yacht yet.
Right.
But, you know, 15 years ago, would you ever dreamed of going to New Zealand for a month?
Well, it was just a dream, as a matter of fact. So I will say that for almost the life of the BN, I've always thought, like, taking the BN on the road, it's been a dream of mine. Getting paid to do so? No, that was, like, so far-fetched. But I think that New Zealand will be a lot of fun, and we're going out to check out the, the brand-new hop farm out there, Revolution Hops. And then... I figure I'm traveling that far. I'm just going to stay there for as long as possible.
You're not coming back is what I predict. It's going to be like, yeah, that's done. Bevo, you're in charge.
You know, if I didn't have the road trip that I'm so excited about, there would be a stronger chance that I just, maybe meet some hot New Zealander and just stay in New Zealand.
What would his name be?
And I don't even care. Him, her, whatever. As long as I don't have to work or whatever.
Damn, hell
People don't work in New Zealand. Right, it's like people just laid back there, just hang out.
Yeah,
when volcanoes aren't erupting. Actually,
that's true.
That's kind of a tragedy that's happened right now.
Yeah, too soon.
I've been watching that, and hearts go out to those folks.
See that footage?
I did.
One was recording from the boat. That was like, and you see those scenes in like movies.
Yeah.
Where, it's just the wall of sort of ash is sort of like rolling towards the... And like, does that really... And it happens. There you go. It happens. Like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
There, dude.
And a lot
That's
of
crazy.
People got injured, and there's still a lot of people missing. I was reading today, I guess a bunch of them are from like a cruise ship, too.
Oh, my God.
Of the 49 or so people that were on the island, like 30-something of them were all from this cruise ship that was taking like a day trip there. Anyhow, still people missing, and our hearts go out there, and I hope, some of those folks are recovered. And anyway, other than that, nobody does anything in New Zealand, right? Grow some hops and hang out at the beach.
Hang out.
You know?
It's true.
It's my plan.
Caravan around.
Yeah.
Wish they could get visas to Australia.
Right.
That's about it.
I thought it was the opposite.
I think it is the opposite.
New Zealand's the more desirable one.
Yeah, well, I think they're more strict.
Mm-hmm.
I think New Zealand is, watching these Border Patrol customs shows on Netflix.
Yeah.
It's tough to get into New Zealand. Like, they'll ask you, have you ever, smoked marijuana? And if you go, well, yes, then they go, what would happen? Because marijuana is illegal. So what would happen if someone offered you marijuana on the street? And you have to be, quote unquote, honest about it or whatever, any sort of hard drugs.
Yeah.
Like marijuana.
Right. Yeah.
It's very weird, man.
It's
but
a weird conversation. It's like a high school counselor situation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, what would I do? I'm a 56-year-old man.
Yeah.
What's the right answer here? Yeah. You're trying to tell me that if I say I would smoke marijuana from a street person,
mm-hmm.
I can't get into your country. Yes, that's correct. I would probably not smoke marijuana.
Right. Yeah.
People get caught up in it, though. I don't know.
It's because they're so nice there. It's like you feel like you have to be honest. They're like the nicest people. Like, we have Canadians on the show today, but I've said this before. The New Zealanders make the Canadians look like assholes. They're like, they're so nice in New Zealand. So the folks at Hop Revolution are hosting me. And so they're in a little town called, a little area called Nelson. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where a lot of the hops are grown in that region. And a New Zealand listener of ours sent me some info. He wanted me to come. He's a brewer out there and wanted to come hang out. And then sent me this link to, there's a beer fest in Nelson while I'm there. Hmm. I think it's called March Fest or something. And it's a craft beer fest and a music festival. And if you go look at the website and all the materials, it's like a big deal. It's a big fest. It's very professionally done. It's been going on for years. And I'm reading it, and it's like, I'm like, wow, this is a big deal. And it's like, you know, live music and food and kids area. 15 craft beers.
Not breweries, beers.
Yeah. And I'm like, ooh. And I'm sorry, dude, I'm not trying to make fun of it. I had to put it into perspective. You have to think about, like, the size of the country, right? Compared to, well, almost anywhere on Earth. Like, it's tiny. And so I'm not saying that this 15 craft beers isn't a big deal in New Zealand. I'm just saying, like, it's relative. I was like, and 15 craft beers.
There'll be over 100 people here. Yeah. Almost 100.
Well, apparently,
not at one time, throughout the day.
Apparently thousands of people go, but I think it goes to show that there's, you know, well, per capita there might be a lot of breweries in New Zealand, but it's still a small beer scene. And so if they're going to do all craft beer... And that's probably every single brewery in New Zealand. Maybe a couple are missing. I don't know what. I haven't looked at how many breweries are there. But I had to chuckle at myself. But like, and 15. I'm going to go, by the way. I'm not going to miss it.
No, you have to.
And I'm looking forward to see what it was. But yeah, we have to put things in perspective, right?
Yes.
It's a small island. Two islands.
A little
islands.
Island country.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm excited about that. And then April, we hit the road. And the first main stop, I'll be traveling through like Arizona, New Mexico, a little bit on the way, but got to be in San Antonio for the Craft Brewers Conference,
that's right. Yep.
Which is the third week in April.
Yep.
So I got it. Like, that's my first destination, and we'll start publishing where we're going to be, as soon as I know. But that's kind of our first trek is to get there.
San Antonio.
You know, so I've been reading a little bit about San Antonio. It looks like a great city.
It's cool.
You've been?
Yeah.
It looks like a really cool city. There's like a Venice-type place.
It's the Riverwalk,
like
or whatever.
River, yeah.
Yeah, and you got the Alamo. You got to go to the Alamo and do that thing.
Probably got to hit the Alamo.
Got to do the Alamo.
Got to do the Alamo.
Yeah. Yeah, it just looks like a whole bunch of... It's a great place to have the conference. Yeah. Anyway,
yeah, that's cool.
I'm excited about San Antonio.
Hey, let me know if you need me there.
Fun.
I like Texas a lot.
You know, Bev wants to go too, so we can probably do that.
Yeah. A competition? Yeah, well, Indian leg wrestle first.
See it happen right now. Let's make this happen.
Let's go.
I would win.
The good thing about the Craft Brewers Conference for us, we only go every other year when there's the World Beer Cup. So work-wise, aside from networking or whatever, we just have to be there to do the awards.
Yeah, we don't have a booth or anything.
If you guys do want to go, yeah, it's more of a, like, let's go see San Antonio and what it has to offer, and then we'll do our awards and get that done with and have some fun.
Yeah, I mean, that'll be the right time, too, where I can probably start thinking about back out there.
Getting out of your house for the first time?
The way you just said that, you were just like, getting, out there.
Well, I'm expecting some, quote, paperwork from China. I don't want to say any more about it, but you can start calling me David Schwimmer from now on.
Okay.
That's my new name.
I see.
If we're not live yet, Taryn's not listening.
I mean, you're going to have to, like, eventually have, like, a babysitter or something so that you're allowed to leave the house, right?
100%. Yeah. And we will eventually.
Yeah. Because up till now, you don't. Has your baby ever been watched by anybody but you?
Hell no.
How old is your kid now?
She'll be 2 in March.
Is in 2 years.
She's graduating college.
She's
24. I will leave the house.
Right. Has she left the house?
She's left the house. Okay. Yeah. We were at the park yesterday, as a matter of fact. I was playing basketball with two children from the neighborhood.
Nice.
Playing horse.
Okay.
One of them told me my tattoo was a mistake.
A mistake.
Yeah, he's a little like 9-year-old kid. He's just like coming up to me. He's like, "You got? Is that a tattoo?" Like, yeah, I think he was like a little autistic or whatever. He said, did it hurt? Yeah. You ever get one removed? And I'm thinking, maybe this kid has. I don't know. And he's like, I'm like, well, I don't know. You know, no, I haven't. But people get them removed from all the time. And I thought, being totally like stereotypical, maybe his dad got tattoos removed. I don't know. Why is he telling me about this, right?
Right.
And he's like, oh. They only get them removed if people made a mistake, right? I go, yeah. And he just, literally stares at my arm, nodding his head, and then looks at me and goes, you made a mistake.
Oh, really?
I'm like,
wow.
Seriously?
Damn, that was aggressive.
Yeah. And then,
love it.
And then 5 minutes later, he came up to me and goes, I'm taller than you.
Okay.
And I'm like, okay, this is, I see where we are in the conversation. Everything is, all right. I'm like, you are? He's like, yeah, look at me. And I'm like, looking down at him.
Yeah.
He's just staring up at me. He goes,
look
like,
at the top of
you.
His head.
Yeah.
Like, his oblong head.
Nice kid, though.
Sounds like it.
Your first experience out of the house, and look what happened.
Yeah. I made friends, man.
All right. Well, get on that, because you'll have to travel to different parts of the country as well.
Yeah. And really, it's, I'm ready for it.
All right, let's get through some announcements. They're brought to you today by Beersmith. You can go to beersmith.com, check out the Beersmith Brewing software, and get your free 21-day trial. It's the best software on the market. But luckily, you don't have to take my word for it because of the free 21-day trial. But Brad Smith over there really knows what he's doing. If you've been listening to me say this for years and years and you still haven't done it, trust me, go check it out. Go to beersmith.com, and you won't regret it. All right, just a couple things in the announcements. First of all, is to save the date. Our 11th annual Spring Brews Festival is Saturday, March 28th, 2020, right here in Concord, California. And I'm really excited about it. We started sending out our brewery invites today, and it's going to be just a good time. 11 years we've been doing that. And
March
I hope,
28th?
Yeah, March 28th.
I'm just putting it in my calendar. Right.
Attaboy. You'll get your invite later this week as well.
Thank you, sir.
11 years we've been doing it. I'm really excited. It's going to be a good time. So save the date. You can travel here for it. You know, it's worth coming to. It's a lot of fun. You get to hang out at the Hop Grenade before and after, and I'm looking forward to it.
Awesome.
With the holidays upon us, if you want to support the Brewing Network, you can do your Amazon shopping, and I've made it super easy for you. There's a giant posting on the homepage that says Amazon shopping. It's huge. It's really massive. You can go click on that. I even made it banner blocker proof for those of you, because I know that's been a thing where people are like, I can't see I don't ever know where it is, and it's because you have banners blocked out. But I've eliminated all obstacles, so you can just continue to shop as usual, and as an affiliate, it helps us out. So I would love it if you did that for this holiday season. Just go to thebrewingnetwork.com and click it's giant. There's like a person holding a big gift. It's massive. It takes up the whole page. Just click on that.
Way to sell it.
Yeah. All right. You can also support us by subscribing and joining the BN Army. Just hit the donate button. And for as little as $2 a month, you're entered into the More Beer Monthly Donation Giveaway, which enters you for a chance to win $100 to spend over at More Beer. The more you donate, the more you're entered. And we do that every single month. Just make sure that your email address is current in PayPal so we can let you know if you won. And we love you for having subscribe for so long. Those of you who have been doing it for
Thank
a while,
you.
Really appreciate it. And if more of you do it, it will help us as well. All right. Get updates over on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Send your feedback to feedback@thebrewingnetwork.com. You can send your show ideas there as well, including where you'd like us to go in 2020 when we're on the road. We've been getting a few emails like that, which are fun and exciting, and it's what we want to do, is go find unique stories across North America to showcase. So send those ideas to feedback@thebrewingnetwork.com.
And I like that they come from actual people who want us to go to these places. And not all of them are from like, hey, this is my brewery and I want you to come over. There are some of those. But others are like, hey, this is a cool brewery in my neighborhood.
Yep.
And I think they have a cool story, or they make some really good beer and I think you guys would like it. And to me, that sort of means a lot.
And cool events that we've been getting sent as well. So that's a lot of fun. Send that all the feedback at thebrewingnetwork.com. We will do our feedback in just a moment, but first, do we have a Twitter game?
Sure, of course we do, and it's great.
All right.
Yeah.
Good, because our sponsor of today's Twitter game is worthy of a great game. It's the 21st of May.
Oh, hey.
That's right.
A new brewery.
Their seasonal release of Tasty IPA is still on the shelves. I just got some myself the other day. And, of course, it is near and dear to the BN Army's heart because it's a collaboration with everyone's favorite brewcaster, Mike Tasty McDole. At 6.8% and 58 IBUs with its straw color, Tasty IPA drinks easily but isn't necessarily easy drinking. Sully, we had a feedback message last week that quoted that, and they were like,
someone called,
they wanted to know what the fuck that means.
Yeah, you know, someone called Custom Draws.
And I was like, okay, I was okay, like, yeah. Actually, JP did an explanation.
When you just read that, I was like, what the fuck was I thinking? I swear to God. Because, you know, you've been running that old spot forever, and so I think I like hammered that out. And it was like 20, you know, it was 20 times longer than it is now.
Well, let me finish the paragraph see if it jogs your memory of why you use that sentence.
All right, okay. Keep going. I'm just trying to defend myself.
The Hop Forward creation spawned originally from early test batches of Tasty's own homebrews, features Calypso, Simcoe, Azaka, Amarillo, Citra, Simcoe Lupulin Pellets, Centennial, Cascade, Equinox, Cascade Lupulin Powder, Mosaic, and apparently, Azaka again.
I think I just cut and paste literally the recipe. And I think there's a malt is in there somewhere as well.
Maybe. Temperature. There might be. Yeah.
If you keep reading, everybody can brew this beer eventually.
Anyway, Tasty IPA was originally done as a one-time only beer, but it was super popular. So it became part of 2NA's main beer lineup. And now it's a fall seasonal release. So go check it out. It's on the shelves now. Tasty IPA. It drinks easily. But isn't necessarily easy drinking.
I like that. That's like, I'm trying to think of like an old beer ad that was like,
right,
like Schaefer or something. Like, I have to think about what it was, but there's like some really weird tagline that doesn't make any sense.
I feel like it's a tattoo you get that you have to get covered up later.
Does it hurt?
I got to have a t-shirt made with that on it.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on there, but that's fun that we're talking about it.
That is.
What's our Twitter game, JP?
Well, I wanted to formally announce that Doc has resurfaced.
Oh,
whoa.
And he has a new business. He's not a dentist anymore.
Okay.
He's opened a new business, and he needs help. He needs our help.
All right.
The business name is Doc Cannon, not Duke Cannon.
Okay.
Doc Cannon.
Doc Cannon.
What does he do?
But what does he peddle?
Yeah, what does he do?
Okay.
What's he do over there?
It's his new thing, Doc Cannon.
Doc Cannon.
All right. That's our Twitter game today, brought to you by the 2NA.
It's a Twitter game.
It's not necessarily easy Twitter game.
That's right.
Yeah, but it's A. All right, let's do some feedback. And feedback, of course, is brought to you by the Beer Law Center. Go to beerlawcenter.com. John does a lot of hard work. Just had a consultation with him last week about this lawsuit.
I feel like you guys are dating now.
We are, because it's like it's coming down to it. Basically, I've gotten like a final offer from this company that lays claim to the hop grenade, and I have until a certain date, until December 16th, to reply.
Wow.
Which is basically like, yeah, fine, I'll negotiate, I'll do this, or pound sand. So John has to hear from me a lot right now. But he does a great job.
Don't talk too long.
Yeah. Beerlawcenter.com. John's awesome, and I really appreciate him. Okay, where's my feedback? There it is. A lot of good feedback this week. Let's see. Paul from Australia writes in, "G'day, guys." He says, "I just pulled up outside my son's school. He's 5, and I had my windows down. Right, and as Justin's Mexican water balls story came on."
I don't know why it was Mexican water balls, but
I think because I was saying that I had this infection on my balls and no one knew what it was, and I had been in Mexico before, and I thought that maybe like I had an open wound or something.
Yeah.
I don't know what.
It's probably what it was.
It was all during our Manscaped ad read. So he says, "I turned my truck off, and a young yummy mommy," that's his words, not mine, "a young yummy mommy walked past just as Justin said, 'I thanked God for the doctor not having to bick my balls,'" meaning shave my balls, okay, "because I had used the Manscaped lawnmower 2.0. He says, "I think that I'm officially off the Christmas card list, but I've never been prouder to be part of the BNA. Cheers, lads. Paul from the Sunshine Coast in Australia. All right. Good story, Paul. Although, word to the wise, and we've gotten this before, there were people who were like, you know, you guys need to watch your language, and we have kids in the car, and then that. And I'm always like, you know, I don't know. Don't listen to me with the kids in the car.
Don't you have, like, don't you warn them somehow? Like, do you have, like, the little E thing?
There is, every podcast says explicit on there.
Yeah.
And, you know, all right. So homebrewing is a family affair or whatever. Fine. But,
long show.
But the show is not. Yeah. And so, you know. Anyhow, Paul gets it. So I hope that you aren't shunned too bad, but that's a funny story. I'm glad I could help. So Ian writes in.
Young, yummy mommy.
Ian.
Yeah. He says, hi, mutants. This is Ian, not son, Ian Titus.
No, sorry.
Although he thinks Ian Titus might be JP.
I wish.
He says. But he says, Justin, here's a list of shit that they actually put into cigarettes. And this might make you think before you reach for one. So suck on that. And I think this is coming up because JP and I had decided last week that we were going to start a foundation that would allow us to do all the bad things. Instead of putting all the research into how to cure us from the bad things that we do, let's start a foundation that makes us immune to all the bad things
that
we do.
Yeah, or pulls the bad stuff out.
So I guess he wanted, you know, and I was like, smoking is fantastic, and it would be great if we could just do it and not die. Yeah. So he wants to give me reasons not to smoke, which I will read. However, I'll be reading them for others, because as I also mentioned, I haven't smoked since like April or some shit.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, Sully was on my ass for a while, too.
Oh, yeah.
It's been a while. I haven't smoked since like April. But
literally on your ass.
Doesn't make me dislike the joy of smoking cigarettes, which is why we want to start.
That's why it's an addiction.
Our foundation.
Yep.
What was it called again? Like No Sin, something.
Sin Foundation Sin Removal Department or something like that.
Some bullshit.
Yeah.
Anyway, here you go. Here's a little rundown of the more than 4,000 chemicals in each cigarette.
As if you didn't know.
I know. Like, who doesn't know these? This is the thing about things that are bad for you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's really anybody who doesn't know the things that are bad for you. We just do them anyway because we're dumb humans.
Yeah.
This is what we do. Ammonia, arsenic, cadmium, formaldehyde, acetone, butane, propylene glycol.
I love it.
Turpentine, benzene, lead and nickel.
How do they get turpentine into
It's just a splash, though. Just a splash.
It says, in his description, it said, this one adds flavor to menthol cigarettes, which in my most recent bout of smoking, they were menthol cigarettes.
You like those menthols. I remember that.
Yeah, they were nice.
Menthols are pretty good.
They're nice.
Yeah. Slims.
I will admit that I think menthols are probably responsible for me starting again, because I had, after I'd quit for like 13 years or whatever, I would occasionally like take a drag off of a friend's, like while we were camping. Mm-hmm. And if they were regular, they just tasted awful. Like, it was the worst thing.
Yeah.
And then someone gave me a menthol once in the same, like, sort of thing. I was camping, and I was like, oh, well, that's not so bad. You know?
Well, you
and
should really just start vaping, is what you should do.
No, that's
big
a whole
puffy other. Clouds, dude.
Were you a clove guy at all, ever?
I was, yeah. I did that, too, yeah.
Yeah, that's like sort of the
for sure.
gateway to cigarette smoking.
Yeah, I've weaved in and out of that scene. Anyway, all right, Ian. Hey, thanks for writing in, but I'm off the smokes, you know, for now.
Good job.
Thanks, man. I mean, whatever. I didn't quit because I didn't love it. I fucking love smoking. It's so great, but, you know.
Well, you gotta, you know.
I needed one less vice.
You gotta do what you gotta do.
Yeah.
You'll be fine.
All right, so this one is from Andrew, who wrote in last week about his temperature control issues and wanted advice on what he could do, what kind of beers he could make without any fermentation temperature control. So he writes in, hello, everyone. Thanks for taking the time to share my feedback. To give some more context, though, my issues around temp control are more space-oriented than desire. Finding the room for a fridge is near impossible, unfortunately. But I do like the idea that JP gave, by the way, of a towel in a tray and wicking the moisture up over the fermenter.
That's right.
He says, I'm using a Fermentosaurus and plan to check that out. So thanks heaps. I'm gonna MacGyver that shit.
All right.
And also, the other suggestion was to brew with some Kvike, because that's like all the rage. And he says this weekend is going to be Kvike shopping.
All right.
So
well, good luck.
You go,
hope
Andrew.
You find one that fits, man.
Keith writes in, this is about our road trip. I listened to the Buffalo Creek show and the feedback segment that people emailed in with suggestions for your 2020 cross-country trip. Two suggestions were for events in Wisconsin and Illinois around August, which happens to be a great homebrewing event in Michigan right around the same time. The Michigan Homebrewer Festival. It's the third week in August. It's at an old Boy Scout camp. So I should bring Sam. Sam has a weird thing with, he wears Boy Scout uniforms.
What's going on?
He's a strange guy. So Sam will have to join if I go to this and wear his Boy Scout outfit.
Yeah.
Anyway, homebrew clubs from all over the state show up for a 3-day camping event. That's a lot of homebrew camping, by the way.
That's a long time, yeah.
Starts on a Thursday, ends on a Sunday.
wow, that was painful.
That's it's a 4-day. Come on, Thursday through Sunday?
He said it's basically a beer festival with nothing but homebrew. Clubs set up booths and various themes, et cetera. There's a whole bunch of other stuff happening. Yeah, we have this similar thing here in NorCal. I always used to like to go. I haven't been in a while, so... he said it's also part of the Michigan Beer Cup, which is the largest homebrew competition in the state. And the winners are announced on Saturday, which means Saturday's probably a party.
Yeah, Saturday, it's a fucking shit show.
I'll go Friday, Saturday, you know, yeah, to do the 2-day thing.
Just go Saturday.
It's a great venue secluded in the woods. Don't worry, you won't hear any banjo music. Hmm. And you're just a short drive from town. I guess he's just trying to make me feel like I'm not going to get murdered.
Right.
I think it's a perfect event for you. Just roll in the RV and start drinking. From Keith. So, Keith, thank you. I will absolutely look into this and see if I can put it on the list. That sounds fun. Phil from Suffolk, England.
Phil.
Writes in, hi, Brewcaster. Season's greetings from England. I've been a long-time listener from way back when, but most recently got back into the session. I haven't brewed in a while. But never stops me from enjoying your show, and glad to see that amongst a few cast changes over the years, some things never change. People keep writing that. I don't know what never changes.
I don't know.
Our immaturity, probably.
The tone, you know, the vibe of the show. Okay. You.
He goes on to say, you guys really know how to make me feel great about myself. I know that no matter how shitty my day can get, at least I didn't actually shit on anyone today.
I think maybe that's what he's talking about, how we're just big messes. Well, that...
Who shit on...
literally pooped on someone.
The story you told about running over the kid in the blanket or whatever.
Okay, but I was also like eight.
Yeah.
I read that today. I was like, who shit on somebody?
Yeah.
Oh, me. That makes sense.
I mean, you shit yourself, too, so there's that, maybe.
I thought you were talking about Roger.
Right. I was like, too. But he says, I did piss myself when he heard that story.
Oh, you got a turd coming.
It was a good story. That poor couple, you know. I hope they tell the story fondly today, too. Like, this kid one day.
Gather around, family. Let
jumped
me tell you
over
the story.
Our picnic and
the flying turd.
Shit on our blanket. Anyway, he goes, I thought I would chime in on your discussion about self-serving beer. Now, this I brought up in the news last week, where I did want to talk about the places where you actually go up and serve yourself your own beer, but I also wanted to talk about ordering at a table, like without a server. Like, you just have a little iPad, and then the beer shows up. And he's chiming in on that. In England, we have a chain of pubs called Wetherspoons, the pubs all serve food and a good selection of beer really cheap. As a result, they tend to get super busy, and you can spend ages just getting served. However, fairly recently, they've released an app where you can order food and drink straight from your phone and get it sent to your table. In fact, you can even order it before you get there. What's brilliant is that you can browse the menu from each pub and see what's available even before leaving your home.
That's what I didn't understand. So you can order it before you get there, but how do you know where to get it? Like, where are they going to bring it to you? Or there's Disneyland has this mobile order, but you can't say that you can't hit the I'm here button unless you're there.
You're there.
So you can choose your time, which is great, and you can do it with beer, by the way, in Disneyland or DCA, but that just seems weird to me. Like, I'm going to order 4 pints, and then I'll be there in 10 minutes. Well, then when they're poured, what are they, just sitting out there getting warmer?
Well, it's England.
I don't know, yeah. Oh, okay. Well, right. Not going to get flatter or warmer.
Yeah.
I'm kidding, England.
I don't know, but I'd be willing to try it out. I want to find out why. I think that's a great idea. And I do, you know, I do kind of like the idea of just ordering off your iPad at the table or whatever, and then the beer arrives. So
you don't want to talk to anybody is what you're saying.
Well... I don't want to wait too long for my next beer. And I think as,
all right,
as costs rise and my thirst rises with it,
yeah.
I don't know. I just think it's an interesting concept. So I had put it out there for some feedback, so I'm glad he wrote in. And then anyway, he finally convinced his wife and the kids to take a road trip here in California next May. So he's going to start in San Francisco, make the way down to San Diego over the course of 10 days. He says maybe a possible show idea for us Limeys would be a top list of best places to drink and visit in California.
God, that's so, just, I mean, I kinda that's like a hard the idea. No, it's a great idea.
Yeah.
It's hard.
It's hard. But
I mean,
yeah,
without going to every place experts. In like San Diego. I know, but there's what? Yeah. 600
well,
breweries
just,
in San
just
Diego.
Start. There's the there, well, there's the San Leandro. There's the San there's yeah. the 21st Amendment,
right? Yeah.
And they also have a location in San Francisco.
Oh, sure,
so
which
that's
is
two.
That's which is
one,
on your
two.
Way south.
Okay. Yeah, that's
on
right.
your way south. So far we got it covered.
Yeah,
okay. And we could probably just stop there.
Right. Yeah,
I love that idea.
Yeah, I'm going to think about this, Phil. Actually, I think maybe we should do a show. We've never
it
done a show like that where we give we generally abstain from giving our recommendations officially.
Correct.
You ever notice that? I never thought about that. Until I got this email, we will certainly recommend places. We'll be like, oh, I loved it when I was here. I
or
love it when I was
here.
There. But we never really organized, have never really organized an official, like, all right, in 2019, this is our top 10.
Right.
We don't do that. And we probably, you know, should. People
well,
listen,
you might alienate people. You might, you know, well, why am I not on that list?
Right.
And then I have to have a conversation with you about sponsorship.
Which is only partially why I've avoided it. I think we don't think that way in general here. Mm-hmm. We're just like, we'll talk about what we like in the moment.
We'll talk to Canadians.
And then the moment goes away next week anyway.
Yeah. Right.
So we don't feel the need to make it super official. I guess I've thought about alienating people in the past, but like, I don't know, like the top 10 list is like the thing. It's been the thing for years now. Everyone likes to click on the top 10 whatevers. And
yeah.
I will say, actually, when I read about like top craft beer bars in the U.S. that publications that I respect put out, I have the exact same reaction you just mentioned, Sully. I'm like, well, why the fuck is the Hop Grenade not on that? Like, are you kidding? We have a killer bar, and why has that never happened? And I tend to think that they're bullshit, like they're biased for whatever reason. So maybe I've avoided it for that too.
I don't like this top 10 or top 100 list. I agree with you. They
you don't
they,
like it?
They do have a lot of clicky, you know, things, but it's because have you been everywhere? Unless you've been everywhere,
right.
you cannot weigh in on this topic because you have no idea. Maybe you've been to five places in San Diego. Who are we to say that the sixth place we didn't go to is the best? We're saying this is the best that we visited or whatever.
Well, so we maybe just have to reframe ours that way.
Yeah.
Like we just would say
that the best that we've visited.
Yeah, yeah, and that's easy, by the way, to do like in a write-up. You just
sure.
go, by the way, we haven't been everywhere.
Right.
Kind of like I was just reading the other day, I wanted to know what the best books of 2019 were, according to the New York Times book reviewers, you know?
Yeah.
I put a lot of weight in them. They've always recommended good books for me. And they put a pretty decent disclaimer up there. They were like, these were of the ones that we read.
Yeah.
And of the ones that we reviewed in the New York Times. Not that we read and didn't review in the New York Times. In other words, they did a great job of just saying, this isn't everything. It's just what was within our parameters.
Yeah.
We could do that.
We could definitely do that. I guess the problem I have is with, we say, these magazines.
Top 10 ever.
Top 10.
Yeah.
Top 100 beers in
right.
the country. Fuck out of here.
Yeah.
you feel strongly about this.
I really do. I hate it.
All right, Phil from Suffolk. Suffolk?
Yeah.
Suffolk?
Suffolk.
Suffolk.
I'll work on that. It might happen.
Eastern England.
Noah writes in, suggestion for a 2020 trip. He wants me to stop at August Shell Brewing in
yeah.
New Ulm, Minnesota.
You gotta go.
I've had their beer when we were in Minnesota for the Homebrewers Conference, but okay. I didn't go to their brewery. He said it was one of my favorite interviews, and Justin, you missed it. Great lagers and sours, and JP killed the interview.
I did a killed
Jace.
RIP to a realist one.
He says, I think you would like to see the lagering caves and the almost 100-year-old cypress wood tanks that they're making Berlinerweiss from. And it's just a few hours from Madison, Wisconsin, when you hit up the great taste of the Midwest.
Yeah, I definitely want to go to that place. It sounded amazing. It
okay.
just sounds great. And the beers were phenomenal.
Yeah. All right. The hoppy honky
Right. You know what? I was going to put his real name, but he signed it that way, so
he just left it.
Gotta know what it is, man.
He says, "I just finished the Buffalo Creek episode, and I really like your guys' idea of the Sin Foundation.
There we
is that
go.
What it was?
Sure.
Where you know where? Yeah, we were just trying to make us immune to yeah. all of our sins.
Yeah.
He says this sounds like something I could really get behind. Of course it does. Who doesn't love this idea?
Right.
However, I think you might be going about it all wrong.
Probably.
I think instead of taking the fun parts out of the sin or the harmful item out, by the way, I'm not trying to take the fun parts out. That's the point of the Sin Foundation.
You get to still do it.
We get to do it, but yep. we don't die from it.
No right. retribution.
Well, he says, you know, instead of taking the fun parts of the harmful item out, I think you should focus on improving the human body to be better equipped to fight them.
Right.
And he gives examples.
Okay, good.
So mark right. these down.
All right, hold on. Let me take my notes.
When we write our business plan.
Right.
He says, like, for smokers, you could add a cancer filter to your windpipe. And for the added convenience, you could add an easy access door on the side of your neck so that you can just switch out your cancer filter.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
It's not a bad idea.
Biohack the world,
I
dude.
Like this.
Yeah.
For beer, you could do a similar process with a liver filter.
Sure.
I think he's onto something here. This is the type of cutting edge research I'm looking for in the Sin Foundation.
He should be on the board.
I think Hoppy Honky yeah. just earned himself a place.
Hoppy Honky, what are your ideas on this thing?
Yeah. He does think that when we get to the STD section, we might need to bring in Dr. Wang as our spokesperson.
Yes.
Dr. Wang, you'll remember, was my doctor.
That's right.
When I went in with my ball infection.
Well, I don't know. Was Dr. Wang a good representative of the genitalia
well,
area?
He was certainly very concerned about my balls.
Spent a long time down there.
And forced me to go to the ER because of it.
But
had I stuck to my gut feeling,
uh-huh.
it was exactly what I thought, which was
more
basically
like
nothing.
Your nut
it was a pimple.
I could have waited. Yeah. I could have waited the 2 days, gone to a regular doctor.
So,
you know,
would Dr. Wang be on the board?
No, Dr. Okay. Wang's out.
He's cut. We cut Wang.
Right. Also, he didn't give me any recommendations of how to immunize my balls from future, you know, fun.
Flare up.
Right.
All right.
Yeah. All right. Katie writes in, and she's from Arkansas, and she says, I just heard that the show is going to be on the road, and I wanted to extend an invite to Justin to visit us in Bentonville, Arkansas.
Bentonville.
I've been a listener of the show since the podcast was recommended to me by a customer, and my husband and I own a brewery with a friend here, and I think we have a pretty good story. And she says, like, of course I think that. Because I am asking for, like, you know, give me something interesting.
Right.
I want to go there and just be like, talk about your pale ale. Which I can do, but nobody gives a shit.
Yeah.
You know. But she says, 5 years ago, my husband and I moved here from Fort Collins, which we have a hop grenade, of course. It's closing at the end of December, by the way. Go and party with us. We have I've moved here from Fort
Slide
Collins.
That right in there.
To open up Bentonville Brewing Company with a family friend. We formerly owned and operated a, looks like a marijuana dispensary.
I think that's what that means. Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
In Arkansas?
No, I think in probably Fort
Colorado,
Collins.
Yeah.
Or Colorado. And when that how did that not work out? we moved to Bentonville, home of Walmart, she says, to open a brewery in a country, in a county that was dry less than 3 years ago. Yeah, actually, the only time I've been to Arkansas, I was in a dry county.
Ew.
I went rafting down some river, and my friends, who were from Missouri, they were like, we got to bring all the beer because it's a dry county. And then don't get caught with the beer.
Is that like a vampire hitting the sunlight for you? Or like
I was like, why the fuck?
Yeah.
And they're like, don't worry, don't worry. We can drink.
All right.
I was like, okay.
All right.
Who's going to go rafting without a beer in their hand?
It's illegal in other states.
Yeah.
But she does sound like they have an interesting story. 2 years into our business, our landlord evicted us.
Oh, wow.
We had to move our operation temporarily to the next town over. We should be out of our temporary spot next month, depending on construction. There's more to it than that, but this is the quick 30-second version. So even if you don't want to interview us for the show, I'd love to have Justin come by for some beers and to hang out. And you know what, Katie? I would love to come interview you guys. This sounds interesting to me. I think that opening in a very near time ago dry county is fascinating. I'd love to know why you were evicted and how you dealt with that. I mean, we've talked to brewers just about, not being evicted, but like outgrowing their space and having to move an operation is like such a, how do you do
this?
Yeah. So Katie, I will be contacting you. I think that you're right now, you're my number one spot to visit in Arkansas. You're the only spot, but you're the number one spot because I think this sounds interesting.
They're actually located in Rogers, Arkansas, and I've been to Rogers, Arkansas.
Well, I think maybe is that their temporary location because she said she had to move to the town next door until their Bentonville is open again. Well, I'll get the scoop for you, Sully. Maybe you should join me in Arkansas.
I'll go back to Arkansas.
Right, for the second time.
I think my first girlfriend's family lived there.
Is that right? Is that why you went there?
Back in 1843.
Took us a month to get over
there. He's like, it was dry county then, and we were sober.
Her father owned this rabbit, medical thing that did with it was just wild.
The rabbit.
I honestly can't tell if you're being serious.
No, I am.
In other words, testing, animal testing.
It was like they would take the serum from rabbits and all this, and they also had rabbits meat that they would sell. It was kind of wild. It
sounds like a scam.
What exactly is the serum?
That's
from
what I'm
rabbits?
Saying. It sounds like a scam.
I think they had blood. They inoculate the rabbit with something.
It's used in the medical industry,
before,
but you can also eat the meat.
Before there were essential oils, there was essential blood of animals.
Rabbit serum.
I swear to God, that brain cell has not fired in like years. And it's amazing that I just found that thing in the cobweb back there.
It's not even all there.
So
I loaded my one horse carriage and hit the town. Dr. Sully, rabbit blood serum and
step right up.
Whooping cough here.
If you're hungry, I got rabbit burgers out back.
Now I know you want to go on the road with me. You're going to peddle your weird wares.
Rogers, Arkansas.
Sully the snake oil
That's
salesman.
That's right, baby.
All right, Katie, thank you for writing in. I will be contacting you. And anybody else, hey, send your ideas to feedback@thebrewingnetwork.com. Love to hear where we should go in the country so I can start making a map and getting there.
Well, maps are there. Yeah. We already invented.
Make my own map.
Yeah, Lewis and Clark over here.
Right. I'm exploring our great Northwest. All right. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, our guests for today Block 3 Brewing out of Ontario, Canada. Hopefully we didn't wait too long. We'll see how hammered they are. Hang in there. It's the session. We'll be right back.
Into the session.
Because life's too short to listen to crappy radio.
All right. Welcome back to the show. Thanks so much for hanging out with us today. And as promised, Block 3 Brewing Company out of Ontario, Canada is with us in the studio. They traveled all the way down from Ontario, which I don't even... There's an ocean between us, probably. At least a Great Lake.
There's at least two oceans, maybe
two Great Lakes. I don't know what. Welcome to the studio, guys. We've got Graham Spence, who is a co-founder at Block 3, as well as Kevin Freer, the head brewer.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
I'm glad you guys came in. So y'all wrote to us, which I thought was very cool, and let us know about you. And I always like it when folks like you are like, I know we're far away, but we will come into the studio and do a show. And like that means a lot to me because it just makes it so much more fun. Yeah,
we kind of called your bluff, and then you kind of called our bluff.
Yeah. I was like, all right, you're going to make it. And you're like, shit, how many miles do we have on the credit card, guys? Can we get there or what?
Hey, my wife thinks I'm on a brewing conference here right now. So
is that what it is?
Yeah.
So I shouldn't send out the links to how to listen to the show?
Whatever. We can figure this out.
We're talking. It's a conference.
It's a conference. Yeah. I mean, we've got another professional brewer in the studio with Sully. All right. Do me a favor, though, Graham. Get that microphone real close to you because I want to hear the story and make sure everybody can hear you guys.
All right.
There we go. So that's nice. So where in Ontario are you guys exactly? It's kind of a small town, right, that you're at?
Yeah, we're in St. Jacob, so Kitchener-Waterloo area.
Okay. And how long have you been open?
6 years.
Really? Were you a pro brewer before anybody, or did you have another life as another career?
I'm an accountant by trade. I'm just a connoisseur.
Got it.
And I have literally only brewed beer for a living.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I've been doing this for like 10 years now.
How old are you, can I ask?
I'm 32.
They're okay, a little baby. This is a baby cellar.
He does look young.
So I don't look a day past 29.
So, in other words, like what, you were in at university, and then your first like real job was a brewing job, or what?
I was a musician.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. No. Turns out you don't make a living playing jazz.
No, I tried to do the same thing. Didn't happen. In fact, the very microphone that you're on, we're all like my when I was in a band, I was like, well, I'm just going to take this equipment and build a studio and try to make a living that way. So I hear you on that.
Yeah. So, I mean, we the brewery's been around for 6 years, which in Ontario is a long time.
Okay.
The beer scene is kind of coming up there.
So I've got a good friend lives up outside of Toronto in a little town called Markham, as a matter of fact.
Is that Toronto or Toronto?
Oh, wait, who says it that way?
Well, who doesn't?
Is that how you guys say Toronto?
Yeah.
Toronto?
Toronto.
I've never heard that before. To be fair, my friends that live there are from England, so they wouldn't know either.
No, they wouldn't know.
Yeah.
Outside of Markham, though, yeah.
Outside of Markham, or in Markham, I think. And I've been going there for years, since before the Brewing Network ever started, and I will say, I remember a time where there was no craft beer available to me there. It was long before the Brewing Network even, so we're talking, you know, over 15 years ago. And I shouldn't say none. Maybe there was one or two craft breweries around. So you guys have come a long way since then, right?
Yeah, Markham's...
But I mean all of us. Let's just talk Canada in general.
Yeah, yeah. So,
because you're saying like 6 years is a long time, and I agree with you. Like you guys are veterans because the industry there is pretty young.
Yeah, we talk about this all the time, actually. Like, we're probably one of the top third oldest breweries in Ontario.
Wow. And so, I mean, and by the way, congratulations. I'm not trying to diminish that, but it is just kind of goes to show you guys are a burgeoning industry.
Burgeoning.
Yeah, we'll go with burgeoning, yeah.
You're doing good, though.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah.
So, 6 years ago, though, were you, you know, did people say, don't do this? We're not ready for craft beer? Or did you feel like it was the right place at the right time?
I still remember my mom actually telling me, don't do that.
Really?
She told me I was an idiot.
Yeah, but that's a mom's job, though. Right?
Yeah.
Was that different than when you were growing up, where suddenly she was like super supportive and then suddenly like, you're an idiot?
Right.
Well, it was. It's funny because... So 2 years ago, I went to visit my brother who was doing med school in Ireland.
Okay. And no wonder she's so the proud brother.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I have a doctor and a...
Yeah.
So my dad actually, we went out to a bar, and my dad actually sat me down and said, I apologize.
Oh, okay.
You were right.
Only 2 years ago.
Yeah. It was some time.
Four years into this thing.
Yeah. It was crazy. And I was like...
Well, that's nice, though. Yeah. That's nice
of
him.
That felt good. But
he didn't have to do that. They could have just been like, well, we'll see.
Was that like the first conversation you had?
You still suck.
Yeah.
Your brother saved 10 people last month.
Yeah. What have you done? Nothing.
Yeah. But it is sort of full circle, like... Like they get them, you know, drunk. They get them to they get customers to turn into alcoholics. They have liver problems. Oh, go see the owner's brother.
Family business.
Take care of you.
Yeah, the family biz.
Preach.
Yeah. Were your parents investors?
No,
because they said fuck that.
Yeah. We don't know what he's doing.
They're like, oh Jesus Christ.
How many owners are there?
There was originally four of us.
Okay.
The other one's not living anymore.
Actually, JP, one of them did pass. I know JP's always
all right,
I'll be the first to put the foot there, right in my mouth.
Hey, man.
I mean, if you don't mind talking about it for a second, so there were four of you, and I only know from my notes, but one of you did pass on. What happened? Can we say?
Yeah, it was a fluke.
Really?
A car accident, I think. So.
Oh, damn.
Your age also? Or?
He's younger than me.
I'm so sorry to hear that.
Yeah,
how long ago was that?
Two and a half years.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm really sorry to hear that.
Yeah, no, it's not great, but...
Well, then the remaining three, I mean, I would find it like, wow, we have to adjust how to sort of move forward with something like this too, right?
Yeah, it was weird. So, I mean, so we when we started, it was three accountants and a brewer.
Okay. And sounds like the start of a joke, by the way.
Yeah.
But yeah.
And he was our brewer, so.
He was your brewer. Okay.
Yeah, and, you know, by chance, he introduces Kevin right before.
Before. So you kind of were brought on like as an assistant brewer?
Him and I had worked together at another brewery called Wellington Brewery, one of the larger operations in our province. And he kept trying to bring me on. He kind of wanted to get out of the, not the biz, but like the day-to-day.
Okay, that makes sense, sure.
So,
yeah.
He wanted me on to run the brewery, and then I came on. Finally, the timing was right. And, unfortunately, a couple months after that, he had a freak accident.
Just a fluke.
Yeah. Passed away. Young guy. Brian, you know, we miss you, buddy.
Yeah, of course. I'm so sorry
to
hear it.
That's too bad.
I'm sure you guys have thought about that. It's strange how things work out. It's strange that you were, you know, brought on just before. And so it sounds like at least there was some help with a transition like that. But you weren't just left without a brewer entirely.
Are you talking conspiracy theory?
You know? Because, you showed up a little bit before it happened.
Yeah. Weird.
I don't know.
I blame Kevin.
it is.
But to be honest, we were lucky. We're lucky that happened. Right?
Yeah.
I think a lot of breweries actually don't really think of that, that there is that possibility, right?
So, of course, yeah.
Like, you need to, you know, everyone likes beer. Everyone who's starting a brewery likes beer, right? So you need to get someone in there that has that business mind and you can do that planning and you know, contingency plan for
almost anything,
that you don't want to happen.
You know, I think it's an excellent point that you make, especially because we've covered that topic in a different way in here.
The what if?
All it's ever been actually is what's the succession plan?
Yeah.
What about when I want to leave the company? You know, what about when Sully's ready to retire? That we've talked about, but we haven't talked about the. What about when it's forced upon us? What about when? And I think you make a really excellent point. Like, what is the plan if our, you know, I'm not saying he was your number one, but what is the plan if, like, the head of the company who's really brought us this far disappears?
You can say my name.
Does the company dissolve, or do we have a plan for that? I think you bring a good point.
I don't think you think about it. You're just trying to get it open and get it running, and you don't like.
I don't think you can.
No.
It's a tough conversation.
It's
a very adult conversation.
It is, and we.
Justin.
Americans, anyway, I would say maybe just. I would even just say Westerners, we don't like to talk about stuff like that, you know?
It's uncomfortable.
But I don't think it's a bad idea. No, I think it's a fantastic idea.
So actually, I pitched this, that same conversation to the. Ontario Craft Brewers to put out as a topic for one of our conferences.
Yeah.
And they're just like,
they won't do it.
It's totally harshing my buzz.
You know, it's hard. Yeah. I think it's important not to just look at things as morbid and instead look at them as, wait, are we all going to pretend that shit doesn't happen? We're all going to just go on pretending this stuff doesn't happen? Or we can get together and maybe have some ideas.
Yeah, I think, to be honest, every business should have that kind of conversation.
Yeah.
Well, you should have things like key man insurance. So if one of the partners dies, you could pay somebody to maybe come into the organization, or maybe you have to buy them out so that you're not in, you know, doing business with their spouse or something.
Sure.
So
yeah.
Those are. You know,
that's some planning.
Yeah.
What's the size of your life insurance policy, Sully?
It's big. It's huge.
Yeah.
Your son's going to do very well.
Ryan's like, you know, Dad, it's 7 o'clock. You passing away anytime soon?
Dad, it's raining. We live on a windy street. Why don't you take a drive? Just take a drive. Airbags are off.
I'll drive.
It's fine. Yeah.
There's lots of hills in this area.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I appreciate you being forthcoming about that and open about it. And I think, you know what? I think people should take your advice and actually maybe put that discussion on the table about what's going to happen. I can finish the conversation here.
Yeah.
Nothing will happen. Everybody's bankrupt.
And that's
basically, you'll be saddled with my debt.
Yeah.
Does it transfer?
That's what will happen. No, because I've kept you out from it being transferred. Don't worry. That's me protecting you.
Thanks, Daddy.
Yeah.
Thanks, Daddy.
All right. So now here you are, though. You're 6 years into it. Do you only sell at your location, or are you distributed throughout Ontario as well?
It's like 90% through our bar, and then 10% local.
Okay.
Our system's a little bit different than it is here. Okay.
Something just happened to your microphone.
Oh, man.
There you go.
Are you all back? Right. There you
go. Hey, there we are.
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you guys have a weird state-run...
Yes, yes. You do.
Whoa. State?
Provincial. Yeah, our government.
Oh, is that what it, oh, sorry. Are you a province?
Yeah, a province.
Yeah. Fucking
loyalty. How dare you? See, and the New Zealanders would have brought that up way more politely.
I told you. Yeah. The New Zealanders, you know, you guys are known as like the nice people on Earth. I think New Zealanders make you guys look like assholes. That's how nice they are in New Zealand.
I'll take it.
Graham is an asshole.
So you have different, you don't have like a three-tier system.
No. So we,
no.
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 Oh, hell no.
It's similar. There are similarities, but we can't, we can't sell. We don't have like liquor stores. You can't go to a liquor store. All the liquor stores are owned by the government.
State-run stores.
Yeah, you don't have privately owned liquor stores.
Provincial, okay. Provincial.
Yeah, provincial.
Okay.
Look, it's just like the metro. Just convert state to provincial. Yeah.
Right.
We were talking about this today, actually. What is a mile?
5,482 feet.
We don't know.
Or something like that.
It's at least like 1.6K.
Yeah. Why is it not a?
Try that wire again.
Why not
for
a kilometer?
Sully.
Why not a kilometer?
You know, that's a good question, and I think because our oppressive overlords, the British, which you guys haven't yet had the courage to throw off the yoke of imperialism, but we decided to go our own route, and now we pay for it.
Right.
That's all right. That's
we pay for it in stupidity.
That's right.
So, all right. So you have, so I've been a few times. So you have what's called a LCBO.
LCBO is the Liquor Control Board of Ontario, yes.
And okay. I'm going to have you move to that chair right there.
Sorry.
It's not you. It's me. See, Canadians. Okay. I'm sorry. Microphone doesn't work.
Yeah. Are you breaking up with them right now?
Sorry.
Yeah.
It's not you. It's me.
Make sure that button's on. Okay, there you go.
On this one?
There you go.
There we go.
Now we can hear you. So you have the LCBO.
Yes. So the only places you can buy beer besides the brewery or besides the winery or whatever is at... You know, at the spot or at the LCBO or what we have called the beer store.
So, all right, and I want to get
great
to
great name.
Which, yeah, you
the
guys,
beer store owned by your own,
owned by Molson, owned by Labatt.
So, I want to get to that in a second. And by the way, Canadians very clever.
Yeah.
The beer store.
Hey, what do you want to call it?
Yeah.
What do you want to call what? The beer store. Perfect.
It's not in French though.
So, no, what do you want to call it?
But the LCBO store, which sells. Do they sell beer at the LCBO too?
Yes.
Okay, so beer and then liquor and wine, all through them, unless it's sold in-house by the manufacturer.
Yes.
Correct. Okay. And, but, so then the state must be like the largest purchaser of alcohol.
That is the LCBO?
In the country?
The LCBO is the largest.
In the world.
In the world, yeah.
Smart move, Canada.
So when you think about it, it's fucked. Like, when you think that... Ontario has the largest purchaser of alcohol in the world.
Right.
Bigger than Costco, bigger than Walmart.
Do other provinces work different in Canada?
Yes, yeah.
Oh, so it's just Ontario that has the state run.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So each province has its own system.
Each province has its own liquor board.
But because we're the most populous province, we have the most.
I see. Okay.
Sales. Which is nice because sometimes they... like, they swing their dick around and they get really nice prices on things.
Yeah, because of their purchasing power.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so that's the LCBO, which is, that just kind of blows my mind, but good for Canada, I guess, to make some cash on it.
Yeah, Canada.
But the beer store, is actually what really boggles my mind, because it's not owned by the government. It's owned by Molson Coors, you say, right?
So it's 49% Molson, 49% Bud.
Okay.
And then 2% Sleeman.
So Sleeman. Whenever...
Sapporo.
Yeah. Sapporo.
So when these laws were being made, the Canadian government decided, well, look, we're going to control this big chunk over here, but somebody, or multiple somebodies, clearly lobbied enough to say, well, you better give us a piece, too, or else. I mean, I'm just trying to figure how this went down.
It's crazy because, you know, in the beer store world, they're the only ones that can sell 2-4s.
What's that?
A case of beer.
Got it.
So
okay.
If you want to buy a case of beer, the only place you can get it is at the beer store.
See, we call them in America 24. We don't say 2-4.
We say flats sometimes. You can buy a flat.
Sorry, my bad.
Yeah, you're fine. Saying. You're fine. So, all right. So it's the only place you can do that. So the only place you can buy like in what's that? Just like a volume discount to get a 24-pack.
Yeah. So there's different laws actually in place for the beer store versus the LCBO, which is government run.
I mean, I'm not far off. Maybe nobody knows the real story, but obviously it was done by a lobby, right? Like, otherwise, why would the government even give it up?
Absolutely. Allow that to happen.
Yeah, they were just like, the big breweries pulled their might, and they were like, well, listen, if you want to get access to our beer, you're going to cut us in on this deal.
Yeah, to be honest, I think the beer store started as a collective, probably, mm-hmm. you know, pre-prohibition. It was a way for the breweries to cut costs and get distribution out for everyone. And then as consolidation happened, you know, it became what it is. And now it's owned by two breweries.
So how then, let's get to like a obviously a very relative important topic. How then does that affect small breweries in Canada? Because yes, you can sell your beer at the state-run store, the LCBO, and it seems like there's not a lot of conflict of interest there. But the beer store, there's like conflict of interest. So, in other words, is it hard for craft breweries to get distribution in Canada like that?
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. When we come down to the states here and you see, you know seeing a craft beer available at the airport is mind-blowing to me.
Okay. Still not – so I'm just going to have Molson at Toronto Airport. Oh,
it's crazy. Like, mm-hmm. you go anywhere in Ontario and you're not getting a craft beer.
That's what about in the stores? Are you able to get your beers into the LCBOs and into the beer store?
Okay. So the beer store, you have to pay to list.
Is that right?
Yeah.
It's like Amazon.
You get your seven for free or whatever, your seven closest for free. You have to pay to list there.
So I'm paying...
What do you mean?
I'm paying Molson and Labatt to list my beer.
To list... What does it mean to list
it? To sell your beer.
To sell it.
Yeah.
How much... What are you paying? Is this a sliding scale? Is this a per barrel? Is this... What do you pay?
It's per SKU.
Okay.
So if you have a six-pack versus a single bottle versus a... Yeah. Single can.
So are you saying you get seven SKUs on the house? Is that what you were saying?
Your seven closest stores.
Seven stores. Yeah.
Oh, your seven closest stores you get for free. Yeah. But anything outside of that, you're paying them per SKU.
Well, that seems reasonable. I don't know what you guys are talking about. I mean, that's a decent...
Wouldn't you pay your competitor?
That's right.
I'm sorry. I didn't realize we were interviewing a brewery from Russia. This sounds like the weirdest fucking communist thing I've ever heard of.
Let's get the circle out.
What this means is that like nobody... You don't buy craft beer at the beer store. You buy craft beer at the LCBO.
Because they don't charge you.
They don't charge you. It's free. It's government run. But they have their own sort of listing process.
Do they have to let you in at the LCBO if you're Canadian? They don't.
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how do they decide?
Put it this way.
We can mail you beer.
Put it this way. I was applying for a summer seasonal yesterday.
Okay. Because somebody was drinking and said, I don't really like the hop aroma in this? Or how does that work?
Well, you're saying the process takes that long.
Yeah.
You're applying for your summer seasonal now.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's fucked.
But you were denied. Why?
No, I don't know if we're denied.
Oh, I thought you said you were
denied. He's just saying this is how long the process is.
I'll get back to you in 6 months.
Okay.
Wow.
But can they deny you? They let you in?
Yeah, they can deny you.
So what's the basis of the decision?
I mean, that's a really good question.
We I think there's like hop overlords that are... overlooking the beer there, and they're like,
wow.
No.
So it's like a Safeway or a large retailer here in the United States where you have a private, and there's a beer buyer who's making decisions on what to buy.
Yeah.
But it's crazy because it's a government monopoly.
Right. Yeah. Does Canada want to borrow the Declaration of Independence?
Steal it.
It was a really good document. It seems it
worked. Are you talking about the 21st Amendment?
here we go. Nice plug.
Hey, yo.
What about getting your beer into bars? Who distributes to bars?
So we don't have to. We can sell directly to a bar.
You can.
Like if you guys as the Hop Grenade want to order a beer from us, I can just like walk it over to you.
I think you're looking at the worst sales rep in the history of beer. And
okay.
It is me.
Great. I see. Because you don't do this yet, is what you're saying.
No, we do. We do that.
Okay.
But I suck at it.
But I guess what I'm asking is, who if you don't do it yourself, though, there's got to be an entity that distributes beer to bars.
It's this guy.
So,
but is there?
We don't have distributors.
Okay. You don't have distributors.
No.
So if I were to go to any bar in Ontario and find something other than Molson, Coors, Budweiser, it's because the craft brewery delivered it there themselves.
Correct.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Wow. I love these shows when it's like another country or something like that, and it's like, what is going on there?
I know. Especially when it's a country that we consider to be very modern and turns out sounding like it's the third world.
Also, when they flush their toilets, it goes counterclockwise.
Is that in Canada? Yeah, I thought so.
Or that far north.
Because you live on a horse.
Okay. In California, it was a big deal that brewers are allowed to self-distribute like that. But at the same time, it's a big advantage to growth that they also have other opportunities to distribute like that. I can't imagine that you guys can plan for some real growth across Ontario unless
big?
You hire a massive team of people to distribute this beer every day.
Valid.
Yeah.
Valid. So it's a big province.
Yeah.
It's a very big province. Canada's a very big country.
Yeah.
Most people don't distribute outside of their province.
Okay.
The entire population of California is in, or sorry, the entire population of Canada is in California.
Okay. Right. Yeah.
Today.
So, right.
Today. We're all here. We are here, fam.
Which means that, like, per capita, you guys have a lot of breweries. But it's because you're spread out and the population's lower. And,
yeah, so most people don't distribute outside of their province.
Okay.
There's a few bigger places that do that, but for the most part, we just kind of keep it local. Like, I mean, it's like 24-hour drive to go to the next province.
Right.
But we just, like, we don't go bigger because we don't have to, like, spread out that much. So you work with the system you're given, I guess, is what I'm trying to get at.
Well, and that makes sense, and I understand that. I guess I'm just, and forgive me for doing so, but just pointing out like some of the ways it also holds you back. And that's just from knowing the brewers I know here.
Yeah, you would. I mean, how do you scale if you want to, like, you know, build a 100-barrel, 165,000-square-foot brewery? How do you do that?
You don't, right?
I think you don't, yeah. I think it's tough. It's
Wow.
And not that, by the way, that doesn't mean that's the only way to do it. I'm not poo-pooing the way you're doing it, but it's just a valid thing. Like, when I met Sully, he's like a small brew pub in San Francisco, you know? Yeah. And now he's a regional brew pub because there were methods for scaling. And there's literally not methods.
Are you taking all the credit for his success?
Oh, 100%. He knows that.
Yeah.
It happens every week, guys.
Yeah.
You're just flying in for the show.
Right.
I put up with this on a daily
basis. Exactly.
Here's your email reminder. It's Tuesday morning. Just to remind you that Justin Crossley,
am responsible for your live.
I got it. I know. Thank you again.
You're just hearing what happens on air. This is a daily thing.
Yeah.
All right, let's do this because I've almost finished mine. I like it so much. Let's talk about your Helles that was in our glass. Tell us about this beer. You guys, I know that you do a lot of mixed fermentation beers as well, but clearly you like your lagers. Tell us about the Helles.
Yeah, so we're kind of known for doing like mixed firm stuff, but we really enjoy the German kind of Helles.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's weird to say this without like promoting our own beer garden as well.
That's okay.
You can do that. Yeah. You don't have to apologize.
No, you're here to promote. Go for it.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Lean into it.
We started a beer garden, Village Beer Garden, in our town, as just like another outlet for a way for us to sell beer.
And you're allowed to do that.
We can do that. Yeah. It's a little more complicated than your guys' like tap room kind of laws or whatever that is here, but like,
so you did a Village Beer Garden.
We have the Village Beer Garden. We started making the Helles because we wanted a nice traditional German beer.
For good that. Call.
We're in a very German area of Canada. Our town used to be called Berlin. You know.
Oh, nice.
Wow.
Okay.
Till the war.
Yeah. I told you it sounded communist out there.
Socialist.
Sorry.
All down.
So, anyways, it's pretty like normal. Like,
this is a nice traditional Helles.
Yeah, it's a easy drinking beer. It's just Pilsner malt. It's carafoam. It's a little bit of wheat. Saws. Like, just this beer is meant to be drank in large quantities.
Canadian malt or German malt?
That is Weyermann Pils.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Nice. Yeah.
100%. We use a lot of Weyermann.
This is a great beer.
Thank you.
This is very good. And its name is interesting. It has some history behind the name. What is it called? Is it Hollinger?
Hollinger. Yeah.
Hollinger Helles.
Yeah.
And what significance does the Hollinger name have to you guys?
So we just bought a beer garden in town, and that's the family that started Home Hardware. Hollinger.
Which is like the Canadian version of the Home Depot, I think, right? Like a major hardware store chain.
Yes.
So the Hollinger family started Home Hardware out of the town you're in.
Yes.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah, so it's kind of cool. It kind of brings it back. And
so your beer garden isn't like just a piece of land. You bought like an old house that was owned by the Hollingers?
Yeah, we bought a house that actually predates Confederation for us. So,
okay.
1865 is the age of the house. Confederation for us. So, you know, the country started in 1867. So, yeah, it's kind of cool. Like, we have actually
super
a house.
Cool.
Yeah, we have a house that's older than the country.
And it's it just has like a big patio or a big yard or something that's the
huge,
beer garden?
Huge patio, 100 seat patio.
Nice.
Terrifying basement.
Don't go down there.
Really?
Yeah. Oh.
What was the house before you got? Was it like dilapidated or was it like a historical site? What was it before you just got it?
It was like a shop. Like, thank God it wasn't a fucking historical site, because otherwise I would have torn that thing down. So.
Yeah. Okay. So it was just something else. So it was in use.
Yeah, it was in use. It was a shop, and it had been for sale for a while. And I'd always looked at it and like, oh, it'd be so sick as a beer garden.
Sure. And has that worked out? Did people feel the same?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's been pretty cool. Like, I think the first weekend we opened, it was wild. Like, Kevin and I were working there, and we were definitely over capacity.
Okay. That's all right. We won't tell anybody.
We served a beer a minute every minute for 10 hours.
Wow.
Yeah. It was nuts.
But what I'm thinking is it that's a really good thing, because what about all winter? You guys have like some harsh winter, right?
Ah.
Are you open? Are you seasonal?
Is it all outdoor?
Yeah. Are you going to be open?
We do have an indoor space right now.
Okay.
We have an excellent chef, Chef Arturo. He's a Mexican guy, so he's doing like authentic Mexican food.
That's
which
great.
Is not normal for our area of the world.
I'll be the judge of that, if it's authentic or not. I got to come up and check this. I'll see what Arturo's
doing.
Where's
my mission burrito?
But wait, but what about the beer garden itself? I mean,
the outside, you would not want to sit out there, right?
So
now.
At some point, you'll shut it down for the season, or you'll just open it on sunny days only?
No, like, it's shut down in October.
Got it. Yeah. And then the indoor space you're talking about is at the house, or just your original space is your indoor
house,
space?
Yeah.
At the house, too. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So you have a tasting room at your original place, right?
Yeah.
And then now you have the house, the beer garden, plus a tasting room inside for when it's for Chef Arturo,
yes,
basically, when
yes,
it's cold.
Exactly.
It's his house. He lives there.
Yeah, yeah, he just lives in the basement where it's creepy.
No, he lives upstairs.
I love this.
I got to stop making jokes because...
Yeah. Yeah. Is... Also, he only has one leg, JP. Anything else you want to call out?
Yeah.
No. He's been arrested 8 times in the last... none of this is in my notes. Don't worry.
Is it confusing because your place is this beer garden's the same name as a large, you know, Home Depot style business in your area?
Well, it's not named that anymore.
Yeah, we don't call it Home Hardware Beer Garden.
Maybe you should.
What do you call it?
It's called the Village Beer Garden.
Okay,
because we are in the Village of St. Jacobs.
It's just formerly owned by the family.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Is the family still around in town? Like, do they have some giant mountain they live on top of? Or
no, I think the original owner, like the guy who started Home Hardware. Passed away just like 2 years ago.
Okay.
Oh,
but way to go, Justin.
Yeah.
Bring that up.
But he was walking around town like a boss every day.
Drinking beers. Yeah. He's having a good time.
Really?
Yeah.
Did everyone just... Mr. Hollinger. There he is, Mr. Hollinger.
Everyone knew him.
That's so cool.
It was crazy.
I like that. Good for him.
And the family, like, when you... The beer of the same name as their family, like, they don't...
Oh, yeah.
Like
they did they like that? Yeah, yeah. Like, oh, they have a Hollinger Helles.
Yeah, I mean, I think... Yeah.
Did you get a letter?
No.
Not for that one.
Not yet.
Not yet.
No.
But you've gotten letters before.
Yes.
Nah.
About what?
If you're not getting sued, you're not trying.
Nobody sues anybody in Canada.
That's right. It's all just letters. There's no actual lawsuit.
How's that Hop Green thing working for you right now?
Right. But that's because we're assholes.
Yeah.
Of course we sue.
They were serving
here.
Pliny the Ontario.
Yeah. Yeah. Pliny the Hollinger Ontario.
That's right.
All right. We also have, before I get us to a break, your King Street Saison, which is one of your flagship beers, right? Is this one of your first?
Yeah. So King Street was like the first beer that we, this is prior to my time there, but the first beer that was ever brewed.
Mm.
And I remember Brian, our friend,
yeah,
who started the brewery, we're just like, man, you're making a Saison? You're making a 4% Saison? Like that What are you doing?
You thought like it was this, that, you that he should.
I thought it was crazy.
Because it wouldn't be popular?
Yeah.
Okay.
But it has, it's like our flagship, man. It's what everyone comes in, they drink, they know King Street. Like
it's what you're known for. Oh, is that what it is? Okay.
It's a geographical name.
What's the Block 3 about? I thought that maybe that was geographical, too.
It's the plot of land that we're situated on. So when they divided up the native lands, they broke it up into blocks, and Block 3 is where St. Jacobs is.
Got it. On King Street.
Yeah.
You say Little St. James? Is that what you said?
St. Jacobs.
Oh, okay. I was going to say. Some Epstein shit going on here, maybe.
Uh-oh.
Hey now.
No more links to that.
Just checking.
Yeah. It's getting real. Yeah, pretty easy. Like,
super easy drinking saison.
Just very dry.
Very easy
drinking. A lot of saws in there. Lustyrian Goldings.
Okay.
Used for like the late hopping in there. And then...
do you filter it? Because it's crystal clear, too.
We do not filter that, no.
It's just crystal clear.
Biofine. I use Biofine.
Okay.
Okay.
Was it always like that, or did you introduce the Biofine?
I brought in the Biofine for sure. Yeah. Okay. That I don't know. I don't really want yeast in my beer. Sounds weird.
You don't have to apologize.
No, we're appreciating that.
It's good.
And I can see why this is your most popular as a flagship, too, because it's not... It's not super barnyard or farmhouse like a saison could be.
Mm-hmm.
It is more on the cleaner, dry side. It's clearly a saison. Don't get me wrong. It has a nice little, kind of a Brett character, a tiny farmhouse, but
light tartness.
I can see that if I'm not a craft beer fan, this beer isn't going to offend me with some like weird saison flavors.
It's very accessible.
Does that make sense? Yeah, it's like super.
It is approachable, especially for that style. Because like you're saying, that could be a funky ass style, dude. Saison
absolutely,
can go way the fuck out there.
Oh yeah.
And this keeps it sort of middle of the road, and it does have a firm bitterness mm-hmm. at the end too. So if you're a fan of that and you want to try and reaching out for new styles, it's definitely something you would reach for.
Yeah. And the noble hops as part of that, I think it's a good idea.
Get that like perfumey bitterness kind of.
Do you ferment it cool? Is that why it's not too barnyardy?
We ferment it in metric.
Yeah.
What is it? I'll get the calculator.
Let me open. Yeah.
Get that phone out. Hey Siri.
Go ahead.
But we ferment it at about 23 degrees, which is around 75. I have no idea.
Let's say 75.
Sure. Why not?
Yeah.
And that actually does have a co-pitch of Brett in it too. So it starts at like 9.5 Plato, 10 Plato,
mm-hmm.
goes down to like 0.5.
Yeah.
So super dry.
How long does it ferment for?
This is about like a 3-week beer.
Okay.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's pretty quick. We're not trying to promote the Brett part of it.
No, and that wouldn't. I don't think that would take off nearly as much as other ones do because it's probably in really slow amounts and 3-week ferment.
So. Yeah.
Yeah. Nice and easy, and then this is actually the only beer we can. We use a mobile canning service to mm-hmm. put that into our liquor stores, and it's like super stable.
Which one?
Mobile canning service?
No, the liquor
which
store.
Liquor store? Both.
Oh, yeah. Okay. The only one we have in our province, the LCBO.
Because remember, they're allowed their closest seven.
Seven. Only seven.
Yeah.
Not more.
Not more.
No.
Not more, no less.
Should we give them eight?
Nah.
Yes. Seven.
Well, actually, though, so how many... fucking kilometers away is number seven. I'm guessing it's actually pretty far. Your reach can be pretty far with seven.
Incorrect.
We're in a pretty populated area.
Okay, so seven's not that far away.
No.
Interesting. Okay.
They're actually all in a strip mall.
All seven. Yeah. Beer store one.
Yeah.
Beer store two. I like this saison a lot.
Now it's funny because this is the second time I've heard kilometers today. We were taking an Uber here,
uh-huh.
and the
phone or the driver said kilometers.
The phone.
Okay, yeah.
It was crazy.
Phone. Yeah, yeah. The phone.
I'm like, what?
I was gonna say it wasn't the driver.
Yeah, yeah. He's like, yeah. What's going on here?
Right.
Because it knew you guys were from Canada and it transferred.
It must have.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Technology
said everything in French.
That's right. Wild.
They actually haven't seen phones before in Canada.
My first time.
What is this car? Oh.
Yeah. I really enjoyed both these beers. The Helles was just a nice German Helles. Like that you kept it traditional because you guys make some great malt in Canada, by the way, in my experience with other people using it.
I will take credit for that.
I like that you use the Weyermann in your Helles too. And then what about in the Saison? Canadian malt here or?
That one is also Weyermann, and then we do spelt malt, which you can also get from Weyermann.
Yeah.
And then some local wheat malt.
Okay. Yeah. Like how, like you know the farmer kind of local?
No, we do know a lot of farmers, but not for that malt specifically.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it. Do you buy a lot of Canadian ingredients, Canadian malt for other beers?
We do.
Okay.
We also have a cool ship.
I saw
that. I'm just going to casually drop that.
Yeah, I know. We're going to get, don't worry. That's our next topic.
It gets really rural really quickly where we're
from where you are.
Yeah.
Okay. What's the town again?
St. Jacobs.
And what's the population? You know?
Like 5,000? Yeah.
Wait, what?
5,000?
Oh, I thought you guys were saying you're kind of big. It's kind of big around you.
Oh, yeah. Our region, Kitchener-Waterloo, is like one of the biggest regions in Canada. And there's probably 600,000 or 700,000.
Because we have 5,000 homeless people. That's just our...
In the courtyard over there.
That's just
They're nice.
Just put them in the park across the street.
We do, yeah. That's where they live. That's their house. Yeah. When we do our beer fest there, they're like, this is my house. And I'm like, I know. But I need to borrow it for a day.
Yeah, that's right. I'll give it back to you. So, cleaner than you found it.
True story. That has happened. This person, it was a couple years ago, goes riding their bike through. We had just closed it off. Goes riding through. And the cops had to, like, tackle the poor person. And she was like, this is my house. And I was like, I mean, she's right.
I'm just going to borrow it for
the
day.
She's not lying.
My fault. But I just need it for one day. All right, so small population, but you've got population around you. Are you like? Is it a tourist town? Because
why are you there?
Why was the beer garden bursting at the seams on your day one? Is it kind of
all 5,000 people came in?
Yeah,
everyone.
That could be.
Yeah, I mean, so St. Jacobs is the home of one of the biggest farmers market in North America, actually. So.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
You guys have, like, the biggest everything. You have the biggest liquor buyer ever. You have the biggest farmer's market in North America. That's cool. So you get not just tourism, but people from the surrounding area come to St. Jacobs.
For sure, yeah.
Got it. Okay. And do you guys live there? Are you living... y'all living in that old house?
Nobody lives in St. Jacobs.
I see. Yeah, you're not part of the 5,000.
No.
You live in
We live in Kitchener, like, the nearby city, the large city, you know?
Okay. Population 6,000. the large city, guys.
Yeah. So I mean,
we have a payphone downtown. So
Only one.
Gotta use those Canadian quarters.
There's a fucking line every day.
I'm looking at the map right now. You are a fair piece out of town. I mean, fair piece.
Wow. Sully's on Tinder.
Sully,
right now.
Can we make it North American tour? Or is it like
how long does it take on Bart to get there?
Right.
I think we need to get Sully a new phone.
Yeah. His flip phone isn't cutting it.
I'm looking at him like I'm struggling watching him
use his phone. Yeah. Now who's from the third world, Sully?
Well, I mean, look, you're Canada. What do you want? America's hat. Just keep talking.
They got the neural net up there, dude. They just think about numbers. And
it happens. All right, let me do this because we've got some more beer to try, but we got to take a break so we can get to it. So we're going to take a real quick break, and when we come back, we've got more from Block 3 Brewing Company. Hang in there. It's The Session.
This is Corey King from Side Project Brewing, and you're listening to The Session on The Brewing Network.
All right, welcome back to the program. Thanks so much for hanging out with us today. We are still speaking with Block 3 Brewing Company out of Ontario, Canada, and tasting some of their wonderful beer. It's been good so far, and I just got a whiff of the next two in our glass. And
Smells great.
Yeah, they do. So you guys, we had mentioned earlier, you're kind of big on mixed fermentation and barrel age, too. Is that sort of how you guys started with those types of beers? And I asked that because if I was your mother, I would have told you you're crazy too. If those were the styles you started with.
No, I mean, we started like the Saison was what we started with. And to be honest, I bought the first bunch of barrels, behind our brewer's back.
Okay. How many years in was that?
A year in.
Okay.
And I just bought like...
Because you were into that style.
Yeah, I was into that. So I just bought 20 barrels and I was like, yeah, fuck, let's just do this.
Okay.
And
what kind of barrels were those first 20? Were they wine?
Yeah, wine.
Okay.
Yeah, we're not gross and don't do, like...
What? What would be gross?
We're not very big into the bourbon barrel, like pastry stout kind of thing.
Okay, so yeah.
It's gross.
You need to speak freely. You're fine.
You guys are like, it's gross.
You're not into it. Okay, so you don't like bourbon barrels?
No.
Okay, all right.
I'm not a savage.
I'm not a savage. I love it.
I didn't know that was savage. That's interesting what happens in Canada.
Well, and you guys are a wine region, too, so...
So, actually, I remember...
Fuck the bourbon.
It's gross. Gross.
Understood.
Cask beer is gross.
And do you drink bourbon either?
No.
Yeah.
I like bourbon.
You do. But. Okay. But do you like bourbon beers? Like bourbon barrel beers?
I don't like the I like them. I like the flavors that are there.
Yeah.
But I don't need a 11.5% alcohol beer.
Yeah, understood. You know? Okay. So Graham, when you got these barrels, you were like, "Look, I don't want that like over the top shit. I want something more nuanced, or what?"
Yeah, I don't know. It was weird. Our brewer was actually on vacation, and the barrel showed up, and I was like, "Oh, fuck."
Hide these.
Yeah. And then so when he came home, he fucking lost it.
Oh really?
Oh yeah. He's like, "What's going on?" And I was like,
This is the guy that passed away?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was like, they just happened. They just happened.
Wait. But he, like, really was upset?
Yeah, yeah.
But why? Like, why not? Oh, it's something new we can experiment with.
Maybe just a lack of control.
Maybe. Yeah.
Okay. Because that was his department.
Yeah.
You presented it wrong. You should have said, "Hey, I got a little present for you today."
Yeah. There you go. Yeah, that's a gift.
It was my fault.
It was a happy accident.
Okay, fair.
We're like pretty close to wine region. The Niagara region is fantastic for wine.
Been there, bought iced wine.
Iced wine's a big deal.
It's a big thing there. Yeah,
couldn't even drink it till it melted.
Ice wine is so. Ice wine is the wine equivalent of wet hop beers, where basically they have to they have to pick the wine, the grapes rather, when it's below freezing.
Yes,
and below -8.
So it's even below. See, yeah,
there's like a whole thing to make that like certification to be ice wine.
I see. Yeah, yeah. And it all happens like in one night.
Yes,
basically.
Yeah.
On the first freeze that's below 8, right?
Oh, yeah.
First freeze of the season that's below 8, the farmer, they get out there, and it all has to be completed that night. So it's a gnarly process. Again, like wet hop beers, very wasteful. You buy small bottles of ice wine, right? Mm-hmm. Because you can't get a lot out of it. Well, but I really enjoyed the product.
Why don't you just freeze grapes?
Hey!
They did.
Why don't you just freeze grapes?
Mother Nature
like,
did.
No, like in a freezer. No,
they're waiting for Mother Nature to do it.
You just pick them, and then you can freeze them.
No, it has to happen on the vine.
Yes.
Because nothing freezes in California.
There's rules there.
No, but we do frost burn, so you watch out, young man.
Anyhow, you do have a great wine region, is what I'm saying, and I enjoyed what came out of it.
We get a lot of wine barrels. So a beer like this, like Mauve, is one of our wine barrel aged beers, and like we're not looking for the wine character, we're not looking for the oak character out of it necessarily. We're just kind of doing the mixed firm thing and seeing what we can get from that biodynamic kind of wine stuff, you know.
So, but you started out as like, no, this isn't what we do, and in fact, even the brewer's like, what the fuck just happened? But now it's kind of it's really a big part of what you do. Did that transition take place over a long time, or all of a sudden you guys were like, no, we love this, we love barrels, we love mixed.
I think we always love barrels. When the barrels happened, it was like he was pissed. But at the same time, he was not.
Right. That's what I'm thinking. That's why I asked you to clarify. Like, was he really mad, or he just was, like, annoyed with you?
It's like I feel
like he was annoyed with you.
Yeah,
for sure.
But not mad about the barrels.
No.
That's what I think.
Yeah, he's like, oh, thank God.
Yeah. Okay. So then fairly quickly, you're like, no, let's do something with this. Yep. And now I think I read you guys try to put out something out of the barrel, like, once or twice a month, right?
Correct, yeah.
Yeah, we've grown since I started there from... we had like maybe 20 barrels when I started to like 130 now.
Okay.
Which is, it's sizable, man.
That's when a
you
good
get,
amount.
That's when
a
you lot, get yeah. that big, it's like kind of hard to keep track of.
Where are we going
to
put these? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
What's in them?
Yeah, what's in them?
Yeah.
Beer. yeah, beer's in there somewhere.
So where's tell that? Us about the Mauve, which is in our glass, because this is a great beer.
Thank you. So this would have been, it went into our fooder. We have a couple different, we have like a gold, we have a brown, we have a amber.
That's
kind
a base.
Of wort okay. that goes into the fooder, and then those would go into the barrels. So we have a 10-hack fooder, so 1,000 liters,
okay,
whatever that is.
That's fine. Don't worry.
Yeah. Yeah. You're good. I'm getting tired of that.
yeah, you're good.
And then so that really goes into four wine barrels really nicely. That's a nice volume for that.
Okay.
And then we would then blend that and then put it on fruit, basically.
Okay.
So that like base wort going into things getting sour, tastes good, cool, put it on fruit,
okay,
away we go. I think we used Oregon fruit puree on that.
So Mauve, your base beer is probably your golden wort,
yeah,
and then it looks like raspberries.
Yes, raspberries, yeah,
which go into the barrel.
You are a smart man.
Not in the barrel, we have yeah. we have fruiting tanks, but yeah,
I see. So you'll age that golden in the barrel,
yeah,
on its own before you do the fruit.
Yes,
I see. Then go into stainless where you put the fruit in.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. We, like, obviously Canada's like a frozen wasteland 6 months of the year, so we can't get fresh raspberries all the time.
I see.
Not like down here where avocados are basically free.
They're growing out of the square outside. Right?
Yeah. So do you, for that reason, you only do this at certain times of year, or do you use a puree?
We'll use, Oregon fruit puree.
Got it, yeah.
When it's off-season.
There's no shame in that. We all do that.
No, Oregon.
Their stuff is amazing.
Yeah, Oregon fruit's awesome stuff.
Yeah.
This, by the way, I think has like that bright, fresh fruit flavor that we're all looking for, and that I think Oregon fruit does well.
Yeah. Yeah, they're great stuff.
This segment brought to you by
Oregon right, fruit. Exactly.
Yeah,
it's super bright. I mean, the aroma is amazing. I mean, it's got this nice sweetness and this tartness on the backside. It kind of reminds me of a tartar version of New Glarus's, a couple of their bottles they do, fruit beers they do.
I'll take that.
The raspberry.
Yeah, I'll take that.
And yeah. I would agree with you about more tart but less sweet than New Glarus, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Also a fan of New Glarus, by the way, but I think this one's like, a little drier, less sweet. Kind of like a, what's the ABV on this?
6.5.
Yeah, I was just going to try to compare the golden base to like a Duvel or something, like without the Belgian, but like a golden strong.
Their heads just exploded. Did you see that? We just said
Duvel's like my favorite hangover beer.
Oh, it's a fantastic hangover beer.
He's not walking out here. So.
Yeah. And
did you hear what he said?
Oh my God!
It's like Duvel and New Glarus.
And then with the fermentation, is this? Do you pitch every time, or is this from the barrel?
That would definitely be we don't repitch into our fooder.
Okay.
Not very often, anyways.
So the fermentation just comes on what's in the fooder.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. The souring and the Brett aspect of it and everything that
because
comes from what's in the fooder in the wood.
It's nice and it's tart and it's complex, but it doesn't have a lot of. There's no off flavors that I'm picking up.
It's not funky.
I was thinking you inoculated. I thought maybe you pitched. That's a nice clean fooder you got.
Thank you.
I mean by clean? Like it's funky,
yeah, it's
but
a
it's
clean
not
sourness.
Yeah, yeah. Without a bunch of the bullshit that I could usually complain about, like some cardboard and some oxidation and maybe some bitterness that doesn't belong there. None of that's there.
The fooder is saying, "Well, thank you, Justin."
Yeah,
I'm happy I did my job right.
Yeah. I think you did. You bottled it well. How long did it sit between the fooder and the barrel, and then sitting on the fruit and
this
the stainless? How
would have probably been about a year and a half.
This beer is about a year and a half old.
Yeah, and then like let's say about 2-3 months. Bottle conditioning.
You do bottle condition, okay.
Yeah, this was bottle condition. I really hate THP. That's
kind of
off flavor
that,
you get. Yeah, I hate THP so much. I think I'm like really sensitive to it or something.
So to get rid of it is why you age it in the bottle longer or what?
Yeah.
Okay.
We let it sit around a lot longer than maybe we financially should.
Because it will clean itself up.
Yes.
I see.
Hopefully.
Is this beer at the LCBO?
No.
No.
Is it ever at the beer store? This can only be bought at the brewery?
No, only at the brewery.
It's interesting because just drawing a comparison to the beers down here, you have no warning on here. You have no, like, there's no address for the brewery. There's no statement right. of process. There's no, you know, legal stamp.
I feel like every other country is like, because all of that is common sense. Yeah, we don't have to.
You bought the beer at the brewery. Yeah. Why do I need to put the fucking address on there?
Right.
There's like a warning.
Same thing with the warnings. Yeah, don't drink when you're pregnant. Yeah, we fucking know.
No one got cancer.
Or you do it anyway.
or even like going to like your beer garden. It's like, this is the designated area. Do not step out. Do not bring children. If you drink, you have to eat. You know, that kind of stuff. You go to Europe and it's like, what are you talking about? This is bullshit.
Yeah.
My daughter Serge, who's 4, will bring your wine shortly.
She made this wine. She's been drinking it for years.
Serge. Have you tried to sell this beer outside of the tap room? Put it on the shelf anywhere?
Nah, it's not feasible.
It's a process to list it.
I would have to start this a year ago.
Oh, well, okay.
Well, it's been in the bottle for a while.
Here's what I'm asking.
Yeah. At least lazy Canadians are here.
Touche.
I'm going to suggest, though, a different approach for this particular beer. It should be at every high-end restaurant in the province of Ontario, I think. I think any place that's a foodie place, I think your packaging looks really nice. Yeah. I think the Canadians would be into it. I think that it's a fantastic beer that a bunch of Canadians would be like, wait, that's beer? And I only say it that way because it's what we were, you know, 15 years ago, too, where we didn't know that sour beer was beer. Mm-hmm. I think that you should distribute this to every fine dining establishment in your province.
Yeah. Guys, that's free, okay? That's free. Everything else he says after that's going to cost you money.
That's right.
I completely agree.
Do you see what I'm saying, yeah. Sully? I think that this is
it's very elegant. It's got some nuances to it. It'd be great paired with food. I mean, it's amazing.
It's a world-class beer.
It is.
And I'm just saying, I feel like it's hidden away in your little town. And I want a case of it shipped to every fine dining establishment in your province.
Hey, we'll ship you a case.
You know. And me too. Yes, thank you. But it's a great beer. It's a world-class beer.
Well, thank you.
Thank you so much. That's really kind words.
And for being aged that long, which I think is what adds to some of the complexities, you know, there's a lot of steps that you could have fucked it up and you didn't. You know?
I think about that every day.
What's your bottling line like? Because are you guys bottling by hand?
So we have two separate streams when it comes to sour or clean beers. I consider the Brett beers clean beers.
Okay.
We use a lot of hot water to clean things. So we have a Mahin. It's a really old Mahin.
Oh, that must be fun for you.
It's great. It's super fun.
Yeah. Canadian nice there. That's good.
Yeah, Kevin's like, Mahin. I have it tattooed to my body. I love it.
But then we, for the bottle conditioned sours, we have like an old Graveler. Like, it can do counter pressure, but we don't use it.
Okay.
Kind of like rip through and...
But because they're bottle conditioned, they can tend to be a little more shelf stable and clean themselves up, right?
Yeah, they're a little more forgiving.
Okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
But that's like literally only for the sour beers with the bread and the lacto and things like that.
Okay. All right. Well, now I just want to get on to the next one because that one was so good. The next one is called Fickle Mistress, right?
Yes.
And is this a special version of the Fickle Mistress, or is it always like this? It has blueberry and cranberry, I think you said?
Yeah, this is a special edition, if you will.
Yeah, so Fickle, we went out, we've done some trips, we tried some beers. It's a kettle sour. We do this probably maybe once every 2 weeks, like every 10 days, something like that.
Okay. So this one's popular for you. You brew a lot of it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Normally we dry hop it Citra Mosaic. We brought you guys a fruited version. We do a fruited version of this maybe every month.
Ooh.
About. So this one being cranberry and blueberry.
Yeah.
We kind of just like throw darts at the board and choose what fruit.
Okay.
Coming up. Like,
yeah.
To be perfectly honest. Yeah.
Hey, man, everyone needs a process, and that's just as good of a process as sitting there and go, well, let's really put a lot. Like, who cares? At the end of the day, it's going to taste good.
Yeah, it's fruit.
It just depends on what you want to work with at the time.
Yeah, I'm kind of like underselling it, but like we're happy with the base beer, and it sells like crazy for us.
Is the base also the golden... And this one?
No, this one's a little bit different. Pilsner malt, a little bit of wheat to give it some body, and then Citra Mosaic, like I said, and then in the Whirlpool, and then dry hop with Citra Mosaic.
Okay.
And then if we're doing fruit, we might change the dry hop depending on what the fruit is, just to
go off
compliment. Yeah, to go off what I feel like that day, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It sounds pretty arbitrary.
Yeah,
it's,
yeah,
like, it's almost like you're calling like the rep from Oregon Fruit Products. Like, Suzanne, what do you think we should do today?
What do you think we should sell Kevin?
Later? Yeah.
What's on? Like,
well, cranberry's on sale.
Yeah. We'll do cranberry.
100% that comes up.
But this is, so it's a kettle sour, you said.
Yeah, kettle sour. Yeah. So we pitch, we use all.
I will say this is actually Pacific Coast fruit.
This one was, yeah. This batch was Pacific Coast.
Okay.
Canadian ingredients.
Canadian, all right.
Yeah.
It's about time you paid some homage to your own goddamn country.
That's right. The only thing on Canada right now, I can do it.
Hey, I will sing
actually.
With you. I can sing it too.
Yeah. All right, so kettle sour sits overnight.
Kettle sour, yeah, yeah. So we use Escarmin Labs yeast. So in this case, they're lacto. Pitch it overnight.
Okay.
The whole thing, the whole process. And then this is kind of just like one of the wort streams, I guess, like a sour wort stream that we then decide to make fruit because we have way too much fecal in-house.
Yeah. Okay, so you brew a large batch and you portion some of it out to experiment with.
You were right, portion. You were right.
Portion, yeah.
Portion.
Well, look, I could say process, but
hey.
I'm not going to.
So this one, to me, less tart, a little sweeter than the first one, than the mauve. And I think that that to me is pretty common with kettle sour.
Yeah.
Complexity is a little less than when it's been sitting around
more
for a year and a half. A little more mild. But one I want like a pint of, not just a little sipper cup because of that. Like it's just a little more mild. I can drink this by the pint.
Well, it's tart, not sour is how I kind of look at kettle sours. They're not really, they don't have that sour mouth puckering acidity.
Yeah.
It's more tart.
Right.
Yeah. They're almost like underdeveloped, I think.
Yeah.
And I was worried about the cranberry. I think that's a tough one to use, and it could be bitter. And I think this one came out nice.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's the blueberry rounding it out. But cranberry, I'm like, oh, fuck. If the dart hit that for me, if I'm you, I'd be like, oh, shit.
That's practice. I'm warming up. 2 out of 3.
Yeah.
Yeah, because cranberries have like almost a flavor that you could describe as like a tannin texture. Mm-hmm. And that,
yeah,
and
they're tart.
Yeah, I would never describe this as like tannic. It's like not.
No. But it's distinctly cranberry. But it's almost that cranberry tartness that sort of dries up rather than just as like, oh, it's funky, and you still have the beer underneath it. It helps sort of refresh your palate.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if you ever just had like, you know, just like pure cranberry juice, you're supposed to like drink that for your kidneys or whatever.
Yeah.
It's kind of, it's rough. It's rough. And the bitterness and the dryness, it's all. So anyway, it doesn't have any of that. It's a nicely.
That's why they're mostly like mixed with like apple juice.
Yeah. they're back sweetened. Yeah, 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 exactly.
Or vodka.
Your cran apple or some vodka
in
there.
This beer would go great with vodka.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Actually,
with the claw
that's a good idea. Windy. That's a great idea.
You got Bez interest.
Yeah. So, are you still all wine barrels?
Yes.
You haven't gone past. So, if someone like shows up and they're like, I brought you this Heaven Hill barrel from the Bourbon County, you'd be like, cool, we need to have a fire today anyway.
Yeah. <you're gross>. We have done actually some exchanges. There's a cidery not far from us. So we've done some cool stuff with them where we take, you know, one of their old barrels,
okay,
put beer in it, and then give it back to them after.
Yeah, yeah. Nice. Okay.
But yeah.
We don't do a lot of stuff with whiskey barrels.
No, because they're gross.
I'll take them. If anyone wants to give me one, give me a couple.
Sounds like you're not into this at all.
I feel like one day you're going to make one. And what you need to do is not say what it is, Kevin. Just be, and then go like, hey.
Just do behind his back like he did the other day.
Yeah. Just go,
hey now.
Just go, Graham, hey, you should try this. I got this new wine barrel in.
Hey, luckily, Kevin thinks whiskey barrel aged beers are gross.
We'll see.
I love the fact you're so against it. It's like, it's awesome.
Right.
You gotta draw a line, man.
I know.
You gotta draw a line.
I feel like that's your.
Sure.
And that's an important line.
It's literally the line between Canada and America and the U.S.
The
that's,
border.
That's the 49th parallel.
Yeah, that's the line you drew. You're like, whiskey? Fuck them, cowboys.
We gotta get a wine from Provence.
Yeah, it has to be soft like that.
Yeah, it makes it sound like super, like.
Yeah.
The fact that we only use wine barrels from our province, but it's like, they're free. Of course we're going to do that.
No, good call. Good call. And in fact, a lot of breweries around here do the same thing because we're wine country. And they're like, yeah, free barrels, we'll take that. Yeah.
Can't even imagine how cheap they are around here.
Yeah. Well, not always. I think they were at one time. Now I think you guys have to pay for them somewhere, don't you?
You have to pay for them.
Yeah.
It depends on who you know.
Sure.
Oh, so, yeah.
And it depends on how many they're getting rid of that year. So,
Are there any local distilleries that you guys could work with and get barrels from them for like a gin? Like this beer aged in like a gin barrel would be kind of cool.
Yeah, so that's
barrel aged gin is a thing now. I don't know if anybody.
That's coming up. That's coming up for sure. Distilleries have their own set of weird laws with our system. But yeah, like
wait, what's the weird law there? There's another one. Laws.
There's so many weird laws.
Yeah.
But Willibald is pretty close to us. Willibald Distillery, they make an excellent gin. Dylan's makes an excellent gin.
Okay.
It's there, but it's not quite the same culture level as it is down here, you know?
Got it.
Like we don't have like a podcast idiots? About it. No.
Yeah, well, neither do we, really, so.
And you guys have a cool ship, too.
We do have a cool ship, yeah.
That's pretty exciting. How long have you guys had a cool ship for?
For 2 years now, yeah. We'll be coming up on 2.5 years.
You must be one of the only breweries in Ontario with a cool ship.
There's a couple, yeah. Okay. But we're definitely one of the first, for all sure. Right.
And are you using that regularly?
Yeah, it's got to be very specific. Like
the temperature is
the time of year.
It's kind of weird because you hear guys like Jester King being like, oh, yeah, it has to be like the right temperature. And we're like, it actually gets too cold to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
So we have a very specific window in like November, December, and then like March.
So it actually, I imagine it's even harder than you're describing because it gets too cold in California too. We saw the Russian River's cool ship for the first time. He has windows, you know, all the way around, and it's designed so you open the windows, right?
Whoa! He doesn't put it just on the deck.
Put it on his loading dock like you.
Yeah. Is that where you guys do it?
Yeah.
Let everything fall in.
See, that's amazing. So you, well, and here, let me just say, he was explaining to me that the first time he did a beer in his cool ship, it was warm enough outside, he thought, so he opened up all the windows. And then put the you know, it sat there overnight, and he put the beer in barrels, and he said it just took ages and ages and ages to begin fermenting. And he called his friends, and they're like, yeah, even though it was, you know, whatever, 65 degrees or something, I don't know, whatever temperature it was, they were like, it's still too cold. You need to not open all those windows. It needs to be warm inside that cool ship room with the steam from the wort and everything so that the inoculation kind of starts going by
you
the time
the heat, get
he gets it into barrels.
False advertising. So, it's not a cool ship at all.
Yeah, it's a warm ship.
It'll be a warm ship. A warm ship.
So when we went and did the show there, he had put beer in. And unfortunately for my equipment, which ended up frying, he only had like a couple windows cracked, enough to let air in so that it could inoculate, but to keep temperature back so that it would. But you guys are just sticking it on your loading dock.
Yeah.
So which sounds like way less grandiose.
Yeah. Just stick it out there. Let's get this done.
So every year for our first cool ship batch of the season in October, we invite everyone, like all the other breweries that might not have the chance to see this kind of thing.
Guys, look what we have and you don't.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Please bring us free beers.
Yeah. Basically. Yeah.
Here's wort in a rectangle.
Outside. On a loading dock.
Ooh. I'm going to steal that from you, Jake.
It's your new t-shirt.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
You've gotten three so far. Keep
going. So we do this thing, the whole traditional turbid mash, everything. Like local malt. We have a local maltster, Barn Owl. I let him know way in advance how much I'm going to need that season. We make sure our barrels are getting emptied. And then, we do this cool ship thing. And the first time we did it, it took over a week for them to start fermenting.
To visibly be
Hykroizen in the barrels.
Yeah.
And I was, like, pissing myself the entire time.
Yeah, you're like,
I was so...
Sideways.
We just made a multi-$1,000 mistake. Like,
right.
I was so nervous.
It wasn't warm enough.
You get Graham a little bit drunk, and he'll just buy you shit, so...
Like today.
Cool shit.
Tesla's for everybody. Yeah. Let's go.
Yeah.
Do you think that it's because it wasn't warm enough?
Yeah, no, I think it was the right time. I think it was just, like...
Now, you're doing this in November. I mean, is it warm in November?
No. No, nothing's warm in Canada.
See, this is what I'm saying.
That's what you said that you did it in November.
If you, if you look at it like you look at your kettle sour, that shit is indoor and warm because of the thermal mass of the kettle too. It basically
that keeps it
warm
the whole time. Yeah,
it stays warm all night. And I'm not saying it has to be that warm, but from and I'm no expert, but from this particular interview, Vinny was just kind of saying like, "Yeah, man, you, that room like kind of needs heat around it so that it starts happening in the cool ship. It's not that just that it all the stuff jumps in, but like the process gets a little kickstart because it's." I can only give you Fahrenheit, but, you know, I'm going to say that room when we were broadcasting that day was fucking 80, 85 degrees all night long.
Damn, it sounds awesome.
You know. And then the next time I fired up my mixer, 2 weeks later, just dead.
Jesus,
totally dead. Because also the moisture in the room.
Did you send Vinny an invoice?
No, of course not. I couldn't. I got it repaired. Luckily, I didn't have to buy a new.
Damn.
It was expensive. It was our expensive mixer.
Okay.
And I got it repaired for a couple $100 instead of the whatever couple thousand it cost.
Yeah.
I definitely think that that is like the terroir aspect of making these wild and spontaneous beers.
Sure.
So like my beer, my spontaneous beer is definitely not going to taste the same as Vinny's.
Absolutely no, not. It's not, and I'm not suggesting that. I'm just asking about. I'm thinking that this first one that didn't start fermenting for 2 weeks, it was cold.
Yeah, it was cold. That's it. That's it, man. It got cold, and then maybe the stressors on that yeast. Like, if I pitched a beer and it wasn't fermenting in 2 weeks, like a normal beer, like our IPA or whatever,
you're like, well, that's like, bad.
Yeah, I'm getting fired.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Well, that conversation is going to happen later.
Exactly.
Like, you know, so.
Well, how many batches would you say you've done on your cool ship now?
We're up over, like, 20.
Okay.
I'd have to go look at my notes, but yeah.
And do you feel like now you have it dialed in, like you know the conditions that work for it, or is it still an ongoing...
Every single barrel is different.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Every single time. Like, we have about maybe 40 barrels, like oak barrels, not, like, American barrels.
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't know what that volume is, but
you have oak barrels. Keep going.
Yeah. So those oak barrels, we went through and we tasted them, and some of them are. I'm going to be perfectly honest. Some of them are getting dumped. They're terrible.
Okay.
They are god awful.
Okay.
But then some of them are like, holy crap, this is the best thing I've ever tasted.
Okay, but that doesn't sound to me like that's not a result of the cool ship, unless one cool ship is one barrel.
No, one cool ship's like usually four. 4 to 6 barrels.
And are you saying that across those 4 to 6, it varies?
Well, yeah.
It does. Yeah, it does.
Because then it's the barrel, right? Then I mean,
absolutely. Yeah. It's the barrel. Yeah.
Okay.
For sure.
Right. So that's the part you still like have to dial in, like, well, these barrels are our good ones, or the, you know.
I think that's a thing that people don't want to talk about, but 100% it is the barrels and the area that they're in.
Sure.
You know, people... Like romance the cool ship, right?
Yeah.
Which I'm fully aware that maybe we're not collecting things overnight. Who knows?
Yeah, you are. I think you are. I think that brewers who use them would tell you that you are. How you then, you know, if you then put it into a barrel that has things that are going to overtake whatever jumped into it, you're negating what happened in the cool ship, right?
And you sure, see yeah, I mean? Yeah. We're like blasting our barrels with like boiling water. Like we're doing everything we can to keep
okay.
them completely clean.
I see. Yeah.
But how clean are you? You know.
I just the only reason I'm sort of not arguing with you, but suggesting that it happens in the cool ship is that I felt the same way. I was like, what the fuck could really happen overnight in this fucking thing? But people that know a lot more than I do are they all kind of say no. If the windows are open. And if you let it sit overnight, it absolutely is happening. And it really doesn't even matter where you are on Earth. Like, we all have our own, it's not terroir at that point, but we all have our
microflora.
Own. Microflora. Yeah, thank you. And it is doing something, you know. And these are people who use, you know, cool ships. So I think.
And but I thought it had to be very specific at certain times of year. Like Cantillon, they'd only do it like certain times a year. It has to be.
Right.
The temperature has to be right outside because you're getting a lot more,
true.
You know, activity, microflora activity in the air. Those things become airborne and then land at your cool ship.
Yes.
So I mean, I'm just puzzled by November. I mean, what's...
Yeah, you need to do the dead of July.
I think when you said it, I was like surprised. I was thinking, well, why don't you do this, like, you know, in
doesn't English Steam use a cool ship?
They use that for cooling purposes.
Open fermenters, yeah.
It's not for cooling. It's for fermenting. Exactly.
Yeah, but it's a clean room with an open fermenter.
It has, like, you know...
The thing with our timing is,
positive air.
We, it gets too cold to do it, right?
Like, so the yeast won't survive, right? So you
nothing's alive when it's negative fucking 20 out.
Well, but I'm saying that...
Well, November is great. That's why we do it then, right?
But I'm actually November. Saying that your standard for nothing alive is way too low. I think that you're talking June, July, August, when it's 75 degrees at night. That's your cool ship temperature, and you should email Vinny or something, because he answers everybody, by the way, and ask about this, not take my word for it. I think that below, let me do a little fucking Celsius conversion for you.
Oh, here we go.
You know, but below, I'm going to call it just for fun, and you shouldn't, below 18 is not a time to do the cool ship, I think. 18C.
So in the mornings, usually when we come in, our cool ship is about 14 to 18, and we're talking zero, negative five at night. So,
all right.
I mean, there is something to be said. Maybe it will work.
Yeah.
And that's something that is an ongoing discussion in the sour beer and the spontaneous beer community.
Sure. Well, and also, obviously, you're taking like detailed notes about all this, because you're gonna end up with like this body of work that's like, well, okay, we have found that, you know, November might do something, but not exactly what we're looking for. But the dead of July really nails it. Like, I don't know what you're gonna find out, but I just know that just my experiences from others saying, as Sully's saying, like even the guys at Cantheon are like, we actually only do this at certain times of the year. The rest of the time,
it may not work.
We just take care of barrels. Our job is to take care of barrels. It's not
you
to ferment beer.
Got other work to do, right?
And Vinny was surprised to find out. He's like, cool. Opened up all the windows in my new cool ship room and found that his shit wouldn't start to ferment. And that was in summertime, I think. So
that's interesting.
Yeah,
Vinny, get at me.
I know. Cover your, I don't know, put a bunch of plastic shit around your loading dock and make a little sweatshop out of it.
It's called a tent.
Yeah, there you go. That's what I meant by plastic shit.
Yeah. Just throw a bunch of styrofoam in there. Yeah, fuck it.
How many, fucking hectoliters does your cool ship hold?
I think it's hella liters.
Hella liters in Northern California.
Yeah.
So it can do 14 hex.
Okay. That's big.
We usually lose about 10% to evaporation.
Wow.
So we tend to put
that's
in
crazy.
We put in 1,000, we get 900 out of it, and that is four wine barrels.
Okay,
so that's kind of our target. We could do six wine barrels if we really wanted,
right?
But four's a nice number. You can move four around on like a bump truck.
You can't. I like that you like that because it's so inefficient. But the product is great, and it gives you four manageable barrels. So
it's nice to think of them in groups of four.
Yeah. All right, just random question, because I was asked about Canadian ingredients. Are there Canadian hops? You guys ever use Canadian? Is there a region that people grow hops there?
Oh, boy. Yes.
Is this a thing? Did I touch on something? There is a region that grows hops in Canada?
They
all got in a car accident.
We're more south than...
the whole region.
Yeah, thanks for bringing it up.
It was a bus accident.
Yeah. You're talking about Dick.
Yeah, we're more south than, like, Washington.
Okay. Oh, you are?
South, yeah, you have a hop growing region.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah, I'm thinking of the little R. Okay, I got you.
We're that little bit. Down
I got
there.
You.
Yeah,
yeah. I got you, boy.
Justin just drew the border with his finger in the air.
This is me showing in my mind.
The world is round.
Yeah. Okay.
It's flat.
So there are hops.
But?
It's such a small industry still that if we were to buy all of the hops, that still wouldn't supply us with hops.
And you have to buy them from the hop store.
For anything. So,
God damn, Sully with the callbacks, man.
It wouldn't even supply one batch? Is that what you're saying?
No, it wouldn't supply a brewery.
A brewery, okay.
It's still like a burgeoning industry.
Okay. But have you used them?
Oh, yeah. We'll definitely use Ontario hops in our cool ship stuff.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. What varietals are they?
Mostly just like Cascade, Centennial, that kind of stuff.
Okay.
The Seahawks. North American
for
kind
Canada.
Of stuff.
Yeah.
Canada hops.
Look at that. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
you should work
point,
for these hop breweries or yeah. these hop growing companies. Yeah.
That's the last thing they need is some dipshit giving them dumb puns.
I mean, if you're going to buy the sea hops, why not just buy them from Yakima? Like, they, right? why aren't the Canadians growing something different?
Yeah, there's nothing. There's no
probably to try.
We have one native hop. It's called Sasquatch.
Okay.
Yeah. It's kind of nice. Yeah. It's very like melon kind of fruit forward.
No. Okay. That should be musty.
Sam Squanch.
Yeah, Sam Squanch, thank you.
Hard to find.
Sam Squanch does not have the reputation of smelling good. Yeah. Everyone always goes, I can smell it before you hear it. And so, I don't know, it seems like a bad marketing.
Sam Squanch.
Mm-hmm, Sam Squanch.
The guy in his suit running across the forest.
Yeah. Are they all small, just small farms that...
It's just not a huge industry. One day we'll get there.
Is it growing? Maybe. Is it something that people are actively like expanding?
There are breweries that have made a commitment to only doing that, doing Ontario.
What about micro malting like they do down here with like,
here comes
Admiral
Malting.
Oh, yeah. Weird.
We were Admiral.
But they like super malt in Canada. There's like a big maltery.
Well, like, but I'm wondering if there's a burgeoning.
Also,
we make a lot of, grain in the prairies in Canada.
Burgeoning.
Rar malting, use a lot of Canadian malt.
Yeah,
Rar XD, dude. It's good. I mean, it's good stuff. We can get stuff grown, actually, for our cool ship stuff. We can get things that they tell us exactly what farm it's from,
nice.
Which is super cool.
Yeah.
And I really like that and be like, oh, I can like literally drive to that farm.
Yeah.
Which is...
And then you're like, cool, I'm just going to put my cool ship out in November and fuck it all up.
Yeah. I'm just going to do everything wrong.
Justin is really into this. You have no idea. You spent like 20 minutes talking about this fucking cool ship.
Sometimes when I know about one thing, I'm like,
You're doing a good job, sir.
It's a good party, man. You should come out. First time we do it.
I would love to come out for a cool ship party.
In November.
Yeah.
Yeah, November's not the best time to visit Canada.
But... No, it's not. But I am hoping to go to Canada on my North American tour.
Yes. Hey, come through, man.
I'm hoping to pick up my friends in Markham, and then they want to go to Banff, but that's like way the fuck over there.
That's like a 48-hour drive.
That's a trek, right?
Yeah,
that's
a huge drive.
That's not even...
It is a traveling house, though,
so that's okay. Toronto's a nice city.
And then so maybe I can hit your place on that deal.
Toronto's pretty close to Markham. Yeah. You'd make it work.
If we work it out, can we do a cool shit beer while I'm there?
Yeah, 100%, yeah.
As long as it's in November.
Yeah. Exactly. No, it's going to be like July, August.
Yeah, it'll be like a sacrificial bet.
I like the thing about this trip.
Every collaboration beer I do with anybody is always a sacrificial batch, just so you know.
We're doing five of their batches, and this will be fine.
Yeah. Yeah. Except the Grenadier.
Uh-huh.
That was not sacrificial. That was a nice pale ale.
I have not had the honor yet.
I should have bought you guys some at the Safeway down the road, but now it's too late. Are you guys headed back home tomorrow? Are you doing more Bay Area?
Flying out tomorrow, so.
Did you just come in for 24 hours?
They've been here for a few days.
A couple days.
It feels like it. You've done stuff. Though.
Yeah,
you're not just sitting in your hotel
waiting. We had a chance to check out 21A. So
okay. All right. Where else did you go?
I feel like I've lost my wallet or phone like three times. So
of course.
That'll happen. Success. You are
21A drinks like mad shoutouts to the East Bay. So.
Wait though. I heard a rumor, Graham, that you were at a bar in Oakland last night where there was active gunfire.
That's true.
Is this a true story?
Yeah.
Like in the bar?
No, outside.
Outside? Where in what bar?
No, that's okay. It's outside.
I don't know where I was. And what was your reaction to the gunfire?
Well, I was drinking a daiquiri.
Okay. Fair.
Because
it was that time of night.
That's what the bartender made me. So
okay.
I just ordered another beer.
The bartender who left for 15 minutes.
They went for a smoke break. They left the entire bar.
For 15 minutes?
For 15 minutes, you go for a smoke break.
You were at a great bar.
Were you in Crockett at Toots?
It's the Oakland equivalent.
It's crazy.
Wait, though. Like, you're not used to gunfire, right? This isn't like a common thing.
No. Yeah. But it's also... I've never seen bartenders just leave a bar unattended.
Maybe that's who was shooting.
You were at a good bar.
Something more.
Yeah. That's a good bar when the bartender leaves to go have a smoke.
Watch it. I'll be right back.
But you didn't feel like, worried for your life. Were you drunk-ish?
I wasn't sober.
Okay. Because I would have been freaking out, and I live here. I'm used to gunfire.
Yeah.
You try to get away from it.
Yeah, he's like,
I'm going to go now.
Another daiquiri, please.
When you get back from your smoke break.
Sounds dangerous out there. I'll have another drink.
Man, I cannot find anything on the internet about a shooting in Oakland. It was
crazy.
Things happen.
If no one got killed, it's just another night in Oakland.
True.
You know.
Yeah, it was weird. Like the guy, some guy next to me just like bought me a shot of Jameson, which I did not need.
Right.
And all of a sudden, like, these sirens just come out, and he just fucking bolts out. I'm like, what's going on?
Oh, the guy? Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I'm like, what's going on? What's happening?
Wow.
And
then gunfire.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, man. Fuck it.
I'm so glad that you're alive, for one.
It's going to be a great story.
I would have felt terrible if y'all came out for the show and lost a partner.
Another one.
Yeah, I would have been like, great. This company's doomed.
Damn, I really wanted to find out where that was, too. What bar serving daiquiri?
Was it near your hotel?
Yeah, yeah.
Come through Lake Merritt, Oakland.
You got to stay in it. Yeah.
All right.
It's not bad, actually. Lake Merritt's okay.
It's fine. It can be fine.
It depends on which direction you turned when you left your hotel.
Yeah.
Were
you at a tiki bar? No, they were not.
I don't remember.
All right. And so, but you've gone to the 21st Amendment.
We did. Yeah.
What other breweries have you hit?
We hit up Drake's. We hit up Drake's Dealership.
Drake's. Good spot, yeah.
We hit
not a fan. You didn't like Dealership.
Well, we have a beer garden too.
Okay,
so we're trying to like
comparing beer gardens.
Yeah, it's weird to see people with like heaters.
Yeah,
above their space, and it's like 15 degrees outside, and we're just like, man, I wish we could be open. It's 15 degrees outside.
Right. Yeah. No, yeah, so jealousy is what you're talking about.
Yeah, jealousy. Absolutely jealousy.
And by the way, so am I. When I saw Drake's Dealership Beer Garden first, I was like, shit.
Yeah, it's a beautiful space, absolutely. Yeah.
They spent some money in there.
Oh, for sure. Although
they spent money to make it look like they didn't spend money.
So they did, but they also, I happen to know, they like were offered like the location. That whole area is like being rebuilt. And John Martin, who's a friend of ours, not in the mob way, but like a friend.
No, in a mob way.
He's a smart guy.
Are you the Irishman?
And he said to the developer, he's like, just give me the shittiest spot off the street that you have, and I'll figure it out. And he did. He figured it out. He made it a cool. They like the roof. The reason there's a beer garden is that the roof was fallen in, and he's like, cool, we'll just like not put the roof up and build. When they had their opening, I went there. I sat inside at the bar. It was raining outside, and indoors was leaking water down the brick wall.
Come on.
So, yes, it does look like he spent money to make it look like they didn't spend money. They kind of just, like, made do with what they did.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's a cool spot.
That's what I like about John. He, like, finds a cool spot. I'm jealous, too. He finds a good spot and makes it work. Where else did you? Any other?
We went to Almanac today.
Good spot, yep.
Dope.
Right
Alameda
next
Island
to...
Terrifying.
Alcohol like Island, movie, we man. Call it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird out there, man.
Ex-military base, as you could probably tell.
I couldn't tell that at all.
Yeah. Faction, though, because of that, has like the best real estate in craft
beer.
They're
closed. They were closed, unfortunately.
Were so they?
Treble Rock.
They must be traveling or something.
Treble Rock, shout out.
Almanac's a good spot. All right, so you guys, you did your work while you were here.
Yeah, we definitely drank some beers while we were
there.
There
we go.
Good job. All right. Well, thank you for coming all the way down here and bringing us beer. It's been a pleasure to meet you both and hang out with you. I appreciate it. Thanks for having us, man.
No, thanks. Appreciate it.
You don't have to leave yet. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. We got a little bit of beer news to do, which you're welcome to hang out for. Have another couple beers. We got to wrap up our Twitter game. I'm excited that Sully's here for our beer news today because I feel like he's got some, you know, he has some knowledge. He has some insight.
Right?
Yeah. Sully knows things.
He has some mince pie.
He knows things. All right. Hang in there. It's The Session, and we'll be right back.
Hi, this is Wayne Wumbles from Cigar City Brewing, and you're listening to The Session on the Brewing Network.
All right. Thank you so much for hanging out with us tonight. This podcast has been brought to you in part by Duke Cannon Country.
Ah, not Doc Cannon. That's
different. No, Duke Cannon, where eggnog is served spiked. and without the eggnog. We have been experimenting with a bunch of their stuff.
True.
Particularly, I told you I've become a big fan of their big ass brick of soap.
Yeah.
Which since I first got it, I have not used another soap.
Right.
I'm like full on 100% big ass brick soap guy now. And I use different, like I have different ones because they're different scents.
See, and that's what I was wondering because they do have a wide range of scents, but it's so much soap.
It's a lot of soap.
Do you have?
I'm only on my second bar.
Well, and this is what I was wondering is does the average person have like a bunch of different kinds because they do all smell good, but that's a lot of soap.
I think the best thing is to commit to one, you know, for the couple months, and then you get another one. First one was like the forest one or the pine one or it's my favorite. Right now, I'm using like the leather and something one.
Yeah,
I know I should know these names, but
leather
I don't.
And lace.
All I pay attention is that. I like it.
Yeah.
You, though, got the bourbon barrel.
I got the bourbon one, dude.
Last week. Have you used it?
I've used it twice, and that's how often I shower.
You're like, I've used it every time I showered,
I'm just going to move my chair over a little bit here.
Yeah. Canadians shower like twice an hour.
Yeah, this guy showered twice since he's been here. I liked it a lot.
It's nice, right?
Yeah, you know, and what struck me is when I came home, I took it out of my bag. My bag smelled like the soap the next day.
Right.
And so to be honest, I'm like, well, this maybe it's too fragrant.
So here's what I found.
That's what I was thinking going into the shower.
Did you debate
putting all your clothes in there? I'm like, oh, I just washed my clothes.
The bars themselves on their own are super fragrant.
Correct.
So I was also concerned, like, I have found not the case at all.
Once you use it,
water, I don't know. It dilutes the fucking thing. I don't know what to tell you.
It could be dilution or whatever, but I found that I
want more of it after I use it.
Thank you. That's what I was saying. Like I don't want to feel like disappointed.
Right.
But you know, and then you get out of the shower and you get dressed and you walk around and you kind of get a whiff of yourself. You're like, This is actually the perfect amount.
Right.
Like, I smell good.
Right.
Everything's fine, but not overpowering and not underpowering, because I would be disappointed, right, if you smell this good smell, and then none of it's on you.
Or the opposite, right after, or that all of a sudden, too much. You just got out of, like, a weird brothel.
Yeah. So what I did with the soaps, right, I used the soap. I liked it so much.
Yeah.
I went on the website.
Oh.
Because Christmas is coming.
Yeah.
And we're doing Secret Santa for, like, Terrence, part of the family or whatever, right? We all drew our names. And I drew one of Terrence's cousins who...
The smelly one.
The smelly one, yeah. he's a firefighter.
Okay.
In San Francisco. So I'm like, okay, this is going to be perfect because those guys are probably stinky, right? And so I'm going through and they have soaps and they have all the, you know, the one-by-one thing. But they have a lot of gift boxes and stuff.
I'm sorry, but I'm thinking about this guy being stinky and a gift. They have a campfire. Smelling bar soap. And I feel like
you definitely should get that.
I mean, it's kind of fucked up to give to a firefighter, but it's also kind of funny.
I'll give it to
so him. Whatever you ordered, you have to go back and order the campfire one. It smells really good. Okay. I've used that one too.
I couldn't resist. I didn't mean to interrupt.
That's fine. It's a very important short.
So you're
So I was browsing the sort of like you know, multi packs where you can get a little bit of everything, and they have kind of a lot. So one of the things they have is they're working with a company run by firefighters where they take not reclaimed or not even used, but mismade fire hoses.
So they reclaim the smoke.
Yeah, and then they make bags and belts, and they make a bunch of shit out of them. So what they did is they made this little Dobbs bag, this little, you know,
like a bathroom
travel
bag.
Where, and you get... the deodorant, you get that little the solid
cologne, which I love.
You get a bag of soap, you get a hair thing, you get some shaving thing or whatever, and it's a whole kit.
Yeah.
And it came with a free bar of soap that I am keeping because it's different than the one I have. And I'm like, it's soap on a rope. Anyway, it all showed up, free shipping.
Yeah.
FedEx today.
You used coupon code Brewing.
I did use coupon code Brewing. I saved 15%, dude, so he'll never know.
Yeah.
I saved a bunch of money off the top cap of the thing.
Shaving it off the top.
And I got free soap out of it,
yeah,
dude.
You're skimming off the gift.
This is what we do here.
You know what? To be honest with you, sounds I like thought about idea. Taking it's one of the other things rules. Out of the gift. Because he has no idea what actually is supposed to be in it.
No.
It's I'm not paying for it.
I mean, you are stealing from a firefighter, but whatever. That's your own.
Yeah. Never steal from first responders.
Yeah, it's not against the rules, but.
But I thought it'd be that. So to me, that's the perfect gift. It supports, you know, firefighters. You think he might get a kick out of it, too.
Yeah.
And the whole thing supports veterans. So it's a whole thing, man. America is great.
That's right. A portion, 5% of the net profits from Duke Cannon are all donated to causes benefiting veterans and active duty military. So you can go to DukeCannon.com. Check it out. Use coupon code Brewing. If you're looking for another gift set, this is the one that they sent me that I thought was really cool. It's $49, and it comes with 5 big ass bricks of soap.
And they're big, guys. They're big.
And it was cool because it comes in a authentic military field box that's used to carry ammunition, which I have some of these already.
Yeah.
Because I inherited like every gun on the planet from my stepdad when he passed, and so anyhow, this comes with all the stuff. It's a cool gift box.
It is.
Yeah. All comes in. It's watertight, and it comes with a free screwdriver. Like it's very like you know, man, you know,
centric,
driven, I guess.
Sure, yeah.
Anyway, go to DukeCannon.com and use coupon code Brewing. Duke Cannon prides itself in making grooming goods work as hard as you do. Coupon code Brewing. It'll give you 15% off your entire order.
Yep.
And free shipping on orders over $35. Also, you can get stuff at your local Target, apparently.
Oh, nice.
But then I don't think we could.
No, we don't. Can you, when you go to check out at the counter for Target, can you enter code Brewing?
Brewing, please. Yeah.
But it's, it shipped fast.
Yeah.
It shipped very fast. And like I said, free 2-day express. I didn't pay for upgraded shipping.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah.
I'm a convert.
It was a good time.
They have a shower beer gift set as well.
And yeah, actually the
shower beer. Exactly. I saw that.
Yeah, the beer soap that they have made with Old Milwaukee. And it smells great. It's on my banister right now. I'm actually debating whether or not to put it in a stocking from someone else.
Sure.
So I'm gift splitting
it.
Up the gift. Yeah.
Because you have 8 months worth of soap now.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it's good.
Right.
I'm in there.
I mean, it's Old good Milwaukee stuff. Is...
But in this soap, it smells good.
It's the beer of beers.
It smells good, man.
It's the beer of beers. All right. Well, thanks to them for supporting the program, too. Yeah. And go, it's a cool. They have a bunch of good gift stuff. So
they
it's
checking it out right now.
It's the time
really
to do it.
Yeah.
All right. So I wanted to do a little beer news today because we've had an interesting week in beer news.
Yeah.
Before we get to the stuff that maybe everybody's heard about, I wanted to just report on this one real quick because I thought JP would like it.
I love it.
But apparently a brewery got a little too merry this Christmas season with their latest can. This brewery had to pull their beer cans because they showed reindeer in sexually suggestive positions.
Hell yeah.
On the beer can. Sycamore Brewing Company out of North Carolina, actually. And you might remember that North Carolina was in the news recently for rejecting polygamy porter.
That's right, yeah.
Which has been around for years.
Come polygamy on.
Polygamy Porter, which is a beer out of Utah-based Wasatch Brewery. It's been around for years and years, and they wanted to distribute it in North Carolina. And North Carolina decided that was a little too much risque for the state. So we already kind of got this impression that North Carolina is a little strict about what they do. By the way, the reason I think it's kind of important, a lot of large American brewers have chosen North Carolina as a destination for their second production facilities.
Asheville is like kind of the, you know, it's the Portland or, you know, insert popular American city on the East Coast.
So because of that, we've been talking about them as this very beer friendly state. And then, but we're finding out as long as that fits within some very, strict parameters.
Right.
So this particular brewery had to pull its winter ale. And by the way, it was only for sale at its tap room. It wasn't even distributed throughout the state. It's North Carolina's own Sycamore Brewing Company, and it was being sold in cans, but had to be pulled when an anonymous tip was sent to the whoever the liquor control board.
The label approval people.
Don't try to distribute a beer called Just the Tip in North Carolina.
Question, real quick.
Yeah.
And maybe Sully can fill me in on this. You guys have to get label approval.
Correct.
So
that's right. You have to get it if you distribute to other states. Okay. Not provinces, states.
Thank you.
And so, but in California, you don't have to do that. So if we just sell our beer in California, we don't have to do that.
And even more so, I thought if you're going to sell it in your own tap room, you really don't have to register anything. You got to pay tax on the thing, but you don't have to register the name. You don't have to register the.
You always got
to
pay tax.
You have to post the price.
Okay.
So you have to post it with the state, but you don't have to go through label approval process.
Got it.
Yeah.
But as.
With the feds.
As in Canada. This is a state-by-state thing here, too, right?
Sure.
Or no, this is just a federal deal. If it's going to leave your brewery, you have to go.
If
it's going to leave the state.
Across state lines, you have to not only get your label approved, but you have to get your keg color approved.
Oh, yeah.
But the California ABC,
yes.
If you're going to sell your beer in your tap, you don't have to register the label.
You just have to price post, but no label.
Post.
Exactly.
So this was not federally registered or anything. It was only being sold at Sycamore Brewing's tap room. It was their Christmas Cookie Winter Ale. And it apparently had reindeer various sexually explicit positions. But it was all of the reindeer were also pixelated.
You know, like 8-bit,
like
sort
a sensor.
Yeah.
No. Well, maybe, my impression was more. I couldn't find a picture of it.
Oh, I got it.
My impression was more not just 8-bit, but the like.
Let me see that.
Like
oh
you would,
my goodness.
Like you would find when you're like blurring. Oh, okay. So they're not actually. Like, they're not pixelated. It's 8-bit.
It's like 8-bit, sort of like Super Mario Brothers.
So there's still reindeer in. Like by the way, the one JP is showing me right now is like two reindeer in the missionary position.
There's definitely. 69. Look at this other one.
There, okay.
That's definitely a reindeer getting his little horns.
They're going for like the Christmas sweater.
It was a Christmas sweater, exactly. And it's called Christmas Cookie Winter Ale, but they had to pull it off of the shelves and put it back on with what the brewery described as G-rated can art.
G-rated?
According to the company's Facebook page, the beer will not be available in stores, and it's only sold in their tap room. So, the reindeer design was only going to be sold in the tap room, they thought they could get away with the risque holiday design. However, that is not how it played out. Just like when the Utah brewery, Wasatch, had to pull their beer back because, quote, polygamy is illegal. Apparently so is risque reindeer fucking. I don't know what.
Yeah. I mean, show me a reindeer getting a blowy in the wild. And
But what's great about this is that we're talking about it. So they won.
Yeah.
Right. True.
Yeah.
My favorite / simultaneously least favorite part of the story is that it all came about by an anonymous tip.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, from that.
By some boring fuck who walked into this tap room and was like, oh my god, are those reindeer fucking on a can right now? I can't even believe it. This is a public place.
You guys are gross.
I don't even know what reindeer... until this moment, I didn't know what reindeer fucking looked like because I've never seen it. But obviously it. And I'm so offended that now I know what reindeer fucking looks like.
It's a National Geographic.
And by the way, do reindeer really fuck in different positions? I think it's inappropriate.
It's you know it's got to be another brewery in the area.
You think?
Yes.
No. I think 100%.
It's
some
it's a puritanical. Like,
yes.
You know,
Exactly.
It's a little bit of a religious right thing going on there, probably.
Oh my god! If I could have gone my whole life without knowing what reindeer 69ing look like, I would have been just fine. But now that you've taken that away from me, again,
right?
Just last week, I was at the grocery store, and there was something called.
Mustard.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Mustard 69, yeah. And I was so disgusted.
Must I?
Now, in fairness, it's because the mustard had 69 ingredients, but the connotation alone.
Bro, I would definitely go in hard on 69 ingredient mustard. That shit sounds hella good.
I can't with these people. Like, what
I mean, to like. To,
also, I have nothing else to do.
Yeah,
I
mean, I'm really curious. Like, do reindeer actually blow each other? I mean, is right. that a thing in the wild? I mean,
and if it is,
like a National
if
Geographic,
it is,
like
then I think we have a class action suit on our hands exactly. because it's fucking nature.
Yeah.
I mean, it is the obscenity is one thing, but I would never like I would never turn someone in for that shit. Like,
what if,
that's the weird line.
Whoa, whoa, whoa!
I think
if you get on video, you're the one.
What if reindeer's primary form of foreplay during mating season is actually to fucking 69? We don't know. What do we know? And then we're just talking about nature here.
Reindeers get in there quicker than I do. It's
you're not a goddamn
reindeer. No foreplay
involved. You don't even know.
You don't know.
Maybe.
Bevo,
you
next
don't know
week,
what I
would like a representative from National Geographic on the program actually, to talk about reindeer mating.
Call Santa. Yeah. That motherfucker knows, or at least one of the elves.
You're right.
Talk about it.
I just can't with the fucking... who walks into a place?
They do engage in gentle contact.
Oh, I was having such a nice time out with my family in North Carolina, and I came across this can.
I mean, North Carolina says it all.
With pixelated versions of reindeers in compromising positions.
It is retarded,
I don't think
though.
that is the nature of the hunter-gatherer environment. I can't. It bothers me.
I don't know. That label's pretty stupid anyway.
I like the label. I think it's cool.
I think it's dumb.
You're dumb. We came out with our own, like, ugly Christmas sweater.
Yeah,
it's
but
the
it's,
same thing on a
not,
can.
It's not the same thing.
Except with a funnier idea. You're mad that we didn't come up with reindeer's fucking.
I don't know, man. I feel like, I mean, I don't know. Basically, I'm tired of breweries getting away with shit. I'm glad they got caught. I'm glad they got, and they're getting fined for it. I'm glad.
I fucking hate you right now. I'm going to sue you.
Please
for
do.
For being you.
Dibs on John.
There wasn't a cereal box on it with, you know, a name of a, you know,
no,
dessert.
It's a beer. It's an adult beverage. For?
Because they
well,
didn't.
They're not.
Well, they're not getting sued for it, but they're getting fined because they didn't approve the label.
I don't even think they're being fined. They had to pull the, here it is. Sycamore Brewery pulled the version of their Christmas cookie winter ale from their shelves after an anonymous complaint was made about the imagery on the cans.
So you're saying they had to pull out?
They pulled out.
Oh, my goodness.
The article
great,
I read
Sully.
Is
now we're going to get banned
damn,
from North Carolina.
Sully, that was good.
The article that I read is that they're getting fined because they didn't have label approval.
Oh.
And so it's a fineable offense. It's small. It's like a grand or whatever, but...
We'll see. We'll do a follow-up next week.
Please do.
That's not what this says.
Mm, well...
And also, fuck you, JP. I can't believe that you're mad at them for
doing
this.
I'm not mad. I'm glad they got caught. I'm glad that someone got caught for it.
You're such a fucking asshole sometimes. Yeah. It's such a great, like, nothing comedy thing to do, which you would do. But because somebody else did it, you're like, no.
No, I wouldn't do that.
Oh, my God. Why? Yeah.
Because I think it's beneath...
You would just
the
do
statute of limitations.
You're so ridiculous.
This is totally coming into blows later. Toto Santos cider in this room.
Right.
In this
yeah,
yeah. The rumble and the bungle is what we'll call it.
Jeez.
Yeah, I don't know.
All right. Well, here's another one.
All right.
Okay.
And this one, I think Sully's going to piss me off during.
Okay, all right. Okay. I'm next. Here we go. I need some Canadians, some backup here. Come on.
We got you.
All right. Just lean in with the Celsius.
Sully, are you aware that the United States Congress has just 3 weeks to go to stop the beer tax, which could double the tax that more than 90% of U.S. brewers pay to produce beer? Are you aware of this happening?
Actually, I have no idea.
Oh, my God. Sully, how can you not be aware of it? Because you have, like, a CFO.
Well, we're also, like, you know, there's other bigger fish to fry. I'm not trying to, like...
This is a big fish,
well,
Sully.
Well, it is. And I'm sure that there are people that are, you know, keeping an eye out for this, like, mainly, like, the large breweries, because they don't want to pay for it. So they probably have their people in Washington that are keeping an eye out for it. But
yeah, what's Sully going
to
do?
Yeah, well, I don't know what I could do. I mean, I'm just, you know, just trying to make hard seltzer now.
Oh, I want to make soft seltzer.
The claw.
Let's just make soft seltzer and just
love
each other.
Well, what's it going up to? What's going
on? Well, I'm mad at you for not knowing about this. Like,
I know. Because get a little more riled up here.
I do think that the big brewers are the ones who are going to lobby against it, but
yeah.
I actually think that this affects small brewers even more, and mm-hmm. it, by association, my business as a retailer, because you know that the shit's just going to get passed on.
Of course.
And the cost of beer is... the cost.
What's it going up? What's this?
So first of all, let me give you a couple of important facts.
Okay. And then we'll get back to you and your store.
The beer industry in the U.S. is responsible for... This is some cool shit.
Yeah.
2.1 million jobs.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Over 500,000 of those jobs come from the craft beer industry. Over 559,000, to be a little more exact. Breweries operate in every state. And what happened was that Congress and President Trump had staved off this this increase in for 2018. It was an increase. It was already in the books. It was going to happen, but they went ahead and put like a little 1 year moratorium on it. But it's coming back, and the tax savings just from that stay have resulted in about $100 million in savings in the U.S. Beer industry. But on January 1st, that stay is set to expire. So unless they renew the stay, excise tax payments will go up on average of 4%. And that means that 99% of U.S. breweries will see their excise taxes double. Double! Is it? Wait a minute.
What's an exercise test?
Let me ask you this question.
He's the 1%.
Sully, let me ask you this question.
I'm trying to work in my mind on my best Trump impersonation. I'm just not able to execute on it right now.
Well, the only reason I can think that this isn't on your radar and it's not bothering you, Sully, is that the taxes are already like super low and it's inconsequential. Am I blowing this up?
No. I mean, look, okay. We're more concerned with like aluminum tariffs. Those get passed on to us directly from like our can manufacturers.
If your excise tax goes up 4%, is that fairly inconsequential to you?
It's a big thing. Look, the whole like beer distribution game, like you know, you produce a beer and then you put it in the market. Mm-hmm. It's a margin game. You are trying to literally save pennies everywhere you can.
Right.
So it's. It's not like the guys in Canada just sell it over their bar.
These fucking guys.
Yeah. Like, or at the beer store.
2-1-A is like, you know, several levels higher than us, right? Sure. They sell a lot more beer than we do. But 4%?
Right.
No, I mean,
no one wants to lose that, you know?
No, like, exactly.
Graham, you're an accountant. What's your excise tax, do you know?
It's based on the barrels.
It's per barrel?
Yeah, it's per barrel, so...
Ish.
Yeah.
What are we talking?
Hectoliters.
What are we talking here? What is it? 7%? You know,
if it were to increase, that would directly impact our profitability.
Sure.
Yeah. Unless you pass it on to me and the consumer.
No, that's what will happen.
Which is what's going to happen. Yeah. This is why I'm bothered by this, because
at the end of the day, any tax gets passed on to the consumer.
Right. It just always happens.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you right now, our numbers we're 5 years into this thing now. The first three, we were seeing like a nice steady rise in sales. And draft sales in particular, over the last 2 years, have flipped, gone the opposite direction. Our bottle sales are up. Our draft sales are down. And part of that, we think, is directly related to the cost of beer that gets passed on to us, which then gets passed on to the consumer. None of this is wrong. I'm not saying anybody's doing it wrong. I'm just saying it's affecting our... Mm-hmm. We are no longer in a growth phase, and we're only 5 years into this thing.
Why don't you have hard seltzer on?
We probably will.
Yeah.
It has to be a malt-based hard seltzer per our liquor license.
Really?
That's a thing. Yeah.
Well, it's called grain-based sugar.
Grain-based, exactly. Yeah. Grain-based sugar. So
that
as long
can be anything.
As long as they're doing it that way, then we probably will.
We brewed one for fun.
Yeah, we did like a...
Did you like it?
No.
I've never had one.
You know what? I should have brought one in. I was at the store the other day, and Taryn's like, you know, give me like a cider or something fruity. And they didn't have ciders. They had dry cider. Anyway, so I got a local made, and maybe I'll say it, maybe I won't.
It depends if I want to or not.
Don't say that.
It's like a four pack of hard seltzer.
Mm-hmm.
It's fruited.
Mm-hmm.
And I never had one before either. Took a sip. It was actually delightful. It was almost like a non-sour Goza, if that makes sense. So there was some actually malt there to it.
Okay.
A little bit, but not a whole lot. And then the fruit was very pleasant. It was very good.
Yeah. So, I'm not against the concept.
Check them out, yeah.
They're, we haven't not that's, had one because we're against the concept.
Yeah, but I mean, that's the growth. That's where the growth is in alcohol
I'm
right
not,
now.
I'm not.
Yeah, it's in hard seltzer. That's the growth.
That's all. That is all fine and good. But craft beer is not going anywhere.
Yeah.
And as these things happen, like taxes, I'm just saying it goes, it trickles down.
So what happened? I mean, I used to pay the excise taxes all the time when I was at the pub, so I fill out the forms. But they've actually cut them. I think it was $7.20 a barrel, I want to say.
They did. You got a big cut, yeah.
Yeah, so in 2018, I think it was, correct me if I'm wrong, it went down to $3.50. And that's the first 60,000 barrels. So most small breweries are paying the $3.50 rate with the feds. And, of course, you have to pay your state
so
tax.
So I believe that in 2016 or 2017 is when it went down. But it went down with a tiered bill. So they were like, yeah, cool, we're going to bring you down to 3.5 or whatever it was you just said.
It could go back
but up. It's going to go, it was set to go back up in 2018, which is what, in 2019, which is what Trump and Congress were like, all right, cool, we're just going to not make it go up yet. Mm-hmm. But on January 1st, without another extension, it's going up. And it's a big deal. I think it's a big deal.
It is. I mean, because if you look at it, under 60,000 barrels, it's $3.50 a barrel.
Yeah.
And then above that, up to 6 million barrels, it's $16 per barrel.
And think about that spread that you just said there right there. And I think that's the most important part. So what was it? Over how many thousand?
Over 60,000 barrels, it goes up to $16 per barrel.
So everything between 60,000 barrels and 6 million barrels gets taxed at the same rate.
That's crazy.
That's like three breweries, right?
That's a big deal.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Because it includes mostly small breweries in the below 10,000 barrel range. And barely touches a couple big breweries like your Sam Adams and your Sierra Nevada and your New Belgium. And of course, your big ones other than that. But in terms of the craft scene goes, a whole shitload of small breweries just got lumped in the tax rate of being a massive brewery.
That makes sense to me.
And I think that's a big deal.
Well, everyone who owns a brewery is just getting rich. It's just a money printer machine.
I mean, my car is running outside with the air conditioning on.
Is it still running? Yeah.
Still running. My driver's out. I mean, we just
and you're not even asking me to cut the show short.
Yeah,
we just flew here from California, right? Like
yeah.
Well, I just want everyone to pay attention. I mean, and you beer lovers, too. You know, if your price of your beer goes up and you didn't, like, write in to your congressman to ask for this not to happen, don't fucking yell at me about your price of beer going up 4%. You know.
You have to keep your eye on it. I mean, I would imagine that, you know, there are groups that are actually keeping an eye on it. Mm-hmm. And sorry.
You hope there is.
I just had a stroke.
Right.
Because I haven't been following this, and now I feel like I have to catch up right now, and you should have given me a heads up before I got to the show.
Oh, my God.
I go out to the car and read
it. It's your fault.
You're ridiculous right now. All right. And
what about the 69 deers?
Well, exactly. All right. And then the last thing, just because it happened in the news this week, and I think it's important, Ballast Point, back in the news, after selling for $1 billion.
Mm-hmm. Wow. What a fall from grace.
Just
crazy.
Just a short couple years ago. And since then, Constellation Brands has been writing down the value of the company. Their beer sales, which actually initially rose I forget what it was, but from the purchase price, they initially rose, but very quickly the following year drastically dropped to almost half of what they were doing. Ballast Point, so they have their plummeting sales already, so they were valuated at about $1 billion, and which is what they got bought for. And a lot of people thought that was crazy, but also thought, you know what, over time, it's probably going to pay off. But very quickly, sales tumbled, and then the valuation was actually made on a brand. Yeah. This is a thing that annoys me about big business versus small business. Big business is actually allowed to put a value on their brand. And in this case, the value was whatever they thought sales was worth.
and then the difference between that and $1 billion was what the brand was worth. And if the brand loses value as a corporation, you can write off that loss.
Yep.
Now, the reason this bothers me is that
you can't do that.
I have a segment of my company that's been losing so much fucking money for the last 2 years,
yeah.
And I can still only write off a portion of those losses relative to what you've put in. It's a whole fucking thing.
Well, but, you should call it Ballast Point.
But Ballast Point, for example, has written off over $200 million in value off of the brand identity.
Yeah.
Meaning they don't have to pay taxes on that. It's bad.
Yeah. Grandpa, you're an accountant, man. What's the there's like an actual term for that? Like
goodwill. Goodwill.
Yeah.
Like a goodwill.
Writing the debt off. Yeah.
But not everybody gets to write off goodwill.
No.
That's right.
Meanwhile, they have fishing boats and speeder boats in different locations. But
right.
It's bad. It's bad.
It's a bad. In the last week, they were bought by a small craft brewery called The King and the Convict, I think.
Yeah.
I think it's plural, Kings and Convicts.
Kings and Convicts. Okay.
Out of Chicago.
Yeah.
Kings and Convicts. Nobody knows due to non-disclosure agreements what the price was.
How does a brewery in Chicago producing 600 barrels a year get $100 million to...
I'll give you some of the answers to that, but we don't have all of them. What I do know is that industry experts, you know, quote unquote, it's a wide margin, but they're predicting that the purchase was somewhere between $75 and $200 million.
Mm-hmm.
Big numbers.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But
not a billion.
A fraction.
Well, not a billion. Not
of
a billion.
What Constellation
so
paid.
When did Constellation purchase Ballast
Point? I'm going to say 3 years ago.
Yeah. I think it was 17.
It's a big loss.
I think it's a little bit.
I think they posted up like a 15? Loss of the brand.
I want to say it's like 2013 or 2014.
Like no, I think it's 15. No.
Keep going. I'll find out for you.
Well, I mean, my thing is that so back in the day, I mean, valuations were high. I mean, you had Anheuser-Busch purchasing breweries. You had other
2015.
You had Mao getting involved. You had Coors Miller getting into the segment. And then there was a lot of private equity firms getting involved, family office. And so it was a feeding frenzy. So that's going to drive value up.
Sure.
And so right now, I mean, and so I've heard for years that Constellation was trying to get out of it. They obviously made a mistake. They didn't really know what they were doing in the segment, I think, when they got it. And so they decided to unload it. And they're a big enough company where they don't have to. Now, who bought it? That's the big question.
Sure.
Like everybody's scratching their head. They have no idea. So what's the story there? That's what I'm interested in. I have an idea about that.
Now, so I think that you're right. They were looking to offload it, but no one was ever really going to pay
any
real cash. And here's where the story of Kings and Convicts kind of comes in. So the couple of guys that started it are serial entrepreneurs, as far as I can tell, and they've been fairly successful. One was started in the hotel business, became a hotelier himself, sold his business for $8.5 million. They go to Quebec. They use that term all the time. Sold his hotel chain for like $8.5 million. The other guy did pretty well himself. According to them, they started Kings and Convicts because they were homebrewers, rich homebrewers, clearly. Bought like a building, thought it'd be fun to like do whatever. Decided, well, we better open a brewery here because it's too big to be homebrewers. Bunch of like this shit going on. Well, as it turns out, one of them, you know, has made a lot of friends and knew a bunch of people.
It is Chicago, by the way.
And so, yeah, and some of those people were in Constellation Brands. And according to the article in the San Diego Union-Tribune that I've read, Waters is the guy's name, took these Constellation Brands guys out golfing and then kind of said, hey, what's going on with Ballast Point? And they said, why? And he said, well, I want to buy it.
Why?
You know?
Why?
And they're like, okay. And a few days later, he's on the phone with some of the higher-ups at Constellation Brands and apparently just starts negotiating. Now, the guy has had several other fairly large investment-requiring businesses that he's done well with. So Water's story is he calls all his buddies. Some of them already invested in his new little 500-barrel thing. Some of them that invested in this hotel chain. Some of them that invested in his last thing. Mm-hmm. Plus a couple of banks that have invested in him and said, hey, my next big thing, I can... And now I'm going to paraphrase a little bit. I think he called these guys and goes, hey, I'm on the phone with Constellation, and I think I can get it for this price. Whatever that price is, somewhere between $75 million and $200 million. You guys want in or what? Like, you know me. I'm good for it. Let's do this. And apparently they did it.
And how much beer are they going to produce this year? It's like 200,000 barrels or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, which is way down. So at their peak, yeah, they were at almost half a million. They were at like 400-something thousand. So that's when, right after they got bought, they were kind of on the rise. But immediately, within a year, that went down to like 200,000-something, mm-hmm, which is nothing to shake a stick at in the craft beer industry.
A huge amount of beer.
But it does depend on what the expenses are and so on and so forth.
So I don't know.
Well, I just want to say one more thing about the investment. We don't know. There are some names listed on the LLC that they started, which is Kings and Convicts BP.
Okay.
BP LLC. That's their corporation that was filed in the state of California because that's where the company's based. They made one important distinction. While not listing all the investors, some of them are listed. None of the investors own more than 25% of the company. And this is an important number.
Yep.
Because the Brewers Association has defined craft beer as under 6 million barrels and not being owned by any entity,
more than 25%.
Outside entity, yeah, more than 25%. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they carefully structured how it's owned. Yeah. For example, Waters owns like 22.5%. His partner owns 22.5%. And it goes on from there. Okay, that's so, about the end of my... Yeah,
so that's interesting, and that's a really good point, because I think it plays into this second part I've been thinking about, which is, I don't know these guys at all, so this is just my opinion. I don't know, and no representation of the 21st Amendment here at all. This is Sully's opinion.
Yeah.
So I think what's happening is that they've honestly kind of created their own private equity a fund. And by doing that, they've created this entity, the name of the small brewery, Crooks and Convicts.
Yeah.
And then they've had everybody invest in that, and then this entity has purchased Ballast Point. So it's like a brewery buying another brewery.
So you think it was set up from the beginning?
I think it was. I really think it was, and it looks all clean and, in that regard, although it's a head scratch because everybody's saying, who is this brewery? They make, 500 barrels a year, and what's going on here?
Which actually lends to your theory, because even that is like, let's just keep people scratching their heads. No, we're just a small little entrepreneur. Yeah.
Well, and they already had plans to expand to like 48,000 square feet. So they're like,
I read that too. Yeah, just to clarify, their Kings and Convicts Brewery, which is a 500 barrel brewery, whatever it is, had recently purchased a 48,000 square foot spot to expand.
Sort of. I think what
agreed.
Do you think Ballast Point Beer is now going to be brewed there to fill capacity? Probably.
Yes, 100%.
Well, according to the San Diego Tribune, Kings and Convicts will also be brewed at the two main Ballast Point facilities, which are clearly much larger.
Yeah.
But you bring up a good point, JP. We're 500 barrels. We need 48. How many square feet is San Leandro?
165.
Okay, well, it is massive over there. Yeah. But you're not even in 48,000 of it, I think.
I just think it's like, I mean, what are they going to do? This other brewery, I mean, you'd never heard of it. I mean,
I agree with you. Well,
of course they're going to brew that beer at a Ballast Point facility because they have the capacity, probably.
I'm also agreeing
Why would they create a new brewery?
Yeah.
Like, why would they, with this 40,000 square foot, put a brewery in there? Like, that doesn't make any sense to me either, because if you have all the capacity already in place, why would you add to it? I mean, maybe there's another play there. I don't know.
You never know. I mean, people, it would, all right, if you're, let's just say you're right, that the whole idea was to eventually get to here when they open Kings and Convicts. It's clever. It's a very thought-out, multi-step process.
Yeah.
And I don't think this way. So I'm always like, whoa, that's cool. They like did this new thing. I don't think this many steps ahead, right?
Yeah.
It would be a very clever play, kind of like the Golden Road move,
Well,
where people
that
say that Meg opened that place under the same type of environment. Like, she opened it to get bought out. She was 10 steps down the road when she opened the doors, you know.
Yeah.
So this would be, in this theory, would be the same.
I mean, it's a big, you know, beer is a big business. I mean, it's a business.
Yeah.
And so everybody has an end game, and so this is their plan, and that's what they wanted to do.
Because I'm such a dummy, I always hope that it's not that way. I hope that this guy, like, he's kind of done well, and I'm going to open this brewery. And then I had a golf game with Constellation one day and said, I'll give you 100.
That's his story.
You know, and I'm always like, cool, I work like that. I could like, maybe that could happen.
Maybe well, where's my $100 million?
Let's go play golf later.
Yeah.
You know, there's probably the stories in there somewhere, but that makes sense too. That's how deals happen. You know,
that's the story.
Yeah. Right.
So,
Bevo, did you reach out to them to get them on the show? You had texted me the other day. What if I can get convicts on? Well, who did you go to? You know,
I went through their website. Contact us.
They're too big for us now. Too big for the brewery. Are you really crap beer? You can't come on the Brewing Network. Don't make me do negative PR about you.
So, what I've read from the Chicago Tribune is that Richard Mahoney, who owns the largest stake in Kings and Convicts, which I don't know if it's the BP LLC that you were talking about, but maybe the main corporation, he's chairman of the board of the Wine Group, which owns wine brands like Cupcake.
They own a piece of the new group, of the new LLC.
Benziger. Mm-hmm. Franzia, so they make box wine, Franzia box wine. So these people are multi millionaires,
right?
So it is. It's definitely not the feel good. I'm a small brewery who happens to have a large amount of money because I sold the hotel. They're getting giant investments from giant mega wineries.
Correct, but the Watson or whatever I said his name is Waters.
Yeah,
claims like that company's already an investor in his Kings and Convicts, and apparently was an investor in his previous businesses too. Mm-hmm. So you could just make the argument like, so I know people with money, and I've made them money.
Yeah, well,
so I went to them with this new deal.
That's what he says.
We have investors.
Money.
Yeah, I mean, every brewery has an investor.
Sure,
investor,
and they're like, oh yeah, Sully, you've already done well for us. Of course, we'll invest another $20 mil for you.
But
you
I mean, it's just different because this is it just seems weird.
Yeah, is where I agree with you.
It doesn't pass the smell test.
It's too good to be true. It doesn't pass the smell test. What any other sayings? Like, I agree with all of this. It's a little strange.
Yeah.
Well, I thought I'd bring it up, and it's an ongoing story. We will continue to try to get them on the program.
Yes.
Not that they'll, you know, say anything they haven't said already. No, right. I mean, you know, they might just do the regular PR thing.
I can't imagine they would come on. I really can't because they're so big right now.
I think they would.
I mean, their website crashed when the news came out. Their website was
down. They should totally come
on. They have a story to tell.
They need to come on.
Why would
they
not?
Whatever their plan is, number one on that plan is to make Ballast Point look like craft beer again.
Mm-hmm.
I 100% think they'll come on the show.
I know. All right. We'll see.
You know, I think we'll get them.
That's their move, right? Like,
and if they we'll continue to shit talk about them.
I wonder if they'll bring Colby Chandler back.
Oh, they should. Like Colby. Yeah.
Are you talking about New Belgium?
Well, I did want
to,
although there's not a lot to, I don't know what to say. So New Belgium also sold to Kirin.
Mm-hmm.
It's important to note that New Belgium, you know, one difference here in most of the buyouts that we've seen is that New Belgium is an employee-owned company. So, first of all, when it was announced that it was pending employee approval.
Right.
Second of all, and I think they approved it.
Yeah, and they did,
The payday, is spread out among, you know, it depends on how long you've been there.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, those who founded it, you know, obviously Kim Jordan has a substantial, I don't know for sure, but obviously she has a substantial share in the company.
Oh, sure, yeah.
But so do, I know a handful of people who have been there for years and years, and you know, they're either, forgive me for using the term, like, just brewers or just this or just that, but they're the people who are normally not included in a buyout. And I read that a good amount of people are making over six figures on the deal, and some significantly more than that. And, you know, I've always kind of said, like, I like the American dream. I'm always, I was proud of Jack White at Ballast when he got $1 billion for a company he started as a homebrew shop. Because I believe that that's like kind of the American dream. This one is a little even more than that. Here's a bunch of people who are like your regular blue-collar brewery workers that maybe have been with the company for 15 years.
Yeah.
They just got a chunk of change out of this thing,
I
am proud of them and happy for them. So I think that's unique that it's an ESOP.
Yeah, I mean, that's the interesting thing. It's also when you have an ESOP, is that how do you get paid?
Mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm,
you either either the company is growing and maybe there's some sort of payout, you know, along the way. But
sure.
So I think, and I don't think I'm speaking out of turn here, that that I think the employees were asking for, hey, we, you know, what's going on here? We have to do something here. And so in some ways, I think it was, you know, maybe New Belgium's hand was forced, you know.
Yeah.
You know, you have employees that have this stock they're holding, and they're like, well, what do I get for this?
Like it's $0 stock, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
So
how do we get paid? Like, that's the E part, the employee part of the ESOP, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Well, so I just read an article about Kieran is now being held in question about their business practices, especially in Myanmar. Myanmar, there's a big uprising. Here, let me just read from this article because it can sum it up better than I can. The employees are now voting on whether to sell their firm to Lion Little World Beverages, a subsidiary of Kirin. Kirin's partner, Myanmar Economic Holdings Limited, is an opaque military-owned conglomerate run by top generals. Both the military. So basically, they're saying that Kirin helped basically commit war crimes. The Myanmar military commit war crimes.
I see.
Apparently, in August, a report by a UN fact-finding mission urged all businesses to completely sever financial ties with Myanmar's military, which uses its vast business network to fund its activities without civilian oversight. So now that all this is sort of happening in the beer world, all this stuff is kind of being kicked back up here in the
so-called.
Yeah, so now it's a big thing. Now people in the craft world are starting to kind of
This is going to be an ongoing problem. Once we became a global economy, these things are – I'm not saying, oh, no big deal. They're going to happen. No. I'm saying, oh, shit. Like, do you think that the employees in Fort Collins were like, oh, no, Myanmar. Like, they – maybe one
nobody
of,
knew.
Maybe, like, one of them had ever traveled there and was like, wow, shit's weird there.
Yeah.
This is, like, part of our global economy where all of a sudden we accept things. We're like, cool, we just did great. Oh, shit, sorry, half of our company is a sweatshop. I didn't know.
Right.
Like, I genuinely didn't know. So that is even more complicated. That goes even farther.
Yeah, I'd never heard that half of Kieran is owned by a company run by top generals of the Myanmar military.
Sure. And you never would.
No, because there's no reason for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, another thing about the employees are like, hey, how are we going to get paid out here? A friend of mine with Lagunitas recently told me, like, you know what? If it weren't for the Heineken buyout, I am fairly confident we'd be going out of business right now. We did this expansion, we did this growth, and then craft beer kind of hit a wall. We already were extended. It's tough to make a living at that size.
Yeah.
And I think I would venture to say, this is just me guessing, that New Belgium was up against a similar environment. I think New Belgium sales are strong. I think it's a strong company. But I think the ESOP structure is difficult. And I think that their size is extremely difficult. And without an infusion of cash, maybe they were fucked too. And we weren't gonna, they weren't going to publicize that. They're gonna, you know, Lagunitas wasn't going to publish that. I mean, this was just a friend kind of going like, hey, man, we're here because of the buyout.
The whole business of beer is evolving, obviously. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's, you know, when we first started canning our beer in like 2006, a little two-head filler in the, you know, our little brewery in the back of San Francisco at 563 Second Street. there were 1,500 craft breweries in the country. There was probably 25 breweries putting beer in cans.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, and there'll be 8,000 craft breweries in the United States. Sorry, Canada. By the end of the year, and so that's, you know, there's the competitions, I totally agree, with what they said. The Lagunitas comment is that, you know, they had a brewery in Azusa, which I don't think it's there anymore.
Yeah, it failed.
I mean, it's like, I think they've parted out that place.
Actually, I'm glad you mentioned that because that was a caveat to the thing. Because of Azusa, Lagunitas felt like they would have been fucked without the infusion of cash. But anybody that size can make that mistake. I made that mistake at my size. We're about to close our other location. Imagine being that size. You pump $10 million into a brewery that fails.
Yep.
Oh, shit. Like, what is going to happen now? And I think that whole there was a phrase that came about when the U.S. did the bailouts of the car industry and Wall Street, which was like too big to fail.
Yeah.
which felt like a scam. Like, why are you telling me too big to fail because I'm a small business and I'm allowed to fail? But the truth is, it's a real thing when it comes to, like, the economy. And
yeah, you have to keep the machine going.
It will fuck other thing. Like, it's not just that. The ripple effect. Yeah. And
you're paying for jobs.
Yeah, and so I'm not, you know, maybe New Belgium's not that. But they're a big brewery that shouldn't fail. And maybe they needed the cash. And maybe the employees decided.
It was an opportunity. You have to seize those opportunities, especially in today's market of craft beer, which is very challenging. And, you know, you look at breweries that have expanded, like, to the East Coast, you know, you saw what happened to Green Flash. It didn't work out too well.
Right.
You see, you know, Sierra Nevada has a big plan out there as well. And so does, who else? Well, New Belgium. And
Ballast has one. Theirs is in Virginia or whatever.
And, you know, I just think you have to.
Stone
has a plant there. I mean, they got a big brewery, 250 barrel brew house, I believe. I mean, you just have to, you know, you got to.
Yeah. You know, I feel like in some ways right now we're being a bit of a commercial for, you know, that buyouts are fine and it's okay. And I maybe want to couch that a little bit by saying, and I think we've always done this, nothing is black and white is what I think we're being a commercial for. Is that it's so easy to be like, well, you sold out to this and you sold out to that. Nothing is black and white. And unfortunately, the bigger the deal, the less we get to know about the deal. There's all these non-disclosure agreements. Yeah. So all we do is sit around and speculate about who did this and why they did it and this and that. But I think a big takeaway is none of it's black and white. And I know these people. I'm not saying I'm great friends with Kim Jordan. I'm not saying that I was best friends with Jack White. But I know them enough to know that they're not motherfuckers, and they're not looking to screw anybody, and they believe in craft beer, and they believe in they want to take care of their employees. I can tell you that. I know that 100%. And so just try not to look at things as black and white.
How do you believe in craft beer and then sell your brewery to a large conglomerate?
Because you have 2,000 employees that are going to lose their job if you fail.
Well, I don't think it was
2,000 families.
I don't think it was that desperate of a thing.
You don't know. Nothing's black and white.
Sure, but
that's
you don't
what
know,
I'm saying.
And I'm saying you don't know either, right? So if they had a 1% dip or say in sales,
I think he said that,
maybe 2% dip in sales, then you can scale back and you can manage that and come back for it. But what I have a hard time.
No,
I think so.
I don't think that you don't.
But you don't know either.
No, but I will go so far as to say that to talk about numbers like that without ever having been a CEO of a company that has that many employees and what a 2% dip means, I won't even make a statement like you just made.
Well,
that is,
I did.
You don't have to do that.
Well, I don't think you do.
I actually have no idea.
I don't think you do. I think there are businesses who do that all the time. You can scale back and you can still stay within the industry. The thing about scaling back though is that you have to probably lay people off.
Mm-hmm.
So that's that. If you want to, keep, you know, the whole thing is if you have to keep this entity going, that's like, you know, taking care of your stockholders, taking care of your employees and all that. But you have to make decisions sometimes that are unpopular, that are not going to win you, like, you know, points on anything. And you have to do what's right for, you know, for the business and for the employees and for the stockholders. But everybody's motivation is different. That's the gray area.
The balancing act.
You can't just like say, and I love you to death, JP. You just can't say like. There's ways to fix it like this. It's just there's so many market forces and so many things about your business that are acting on you that you have to make decisions that might be unpopular.
Look, I'm not saying that I have every right answer, but I am saying there's I guarantee you there's another way around it without just selling out completely. And the hard part is the duality of the business of craft beer is if you build a large empire like that with saying we're craft beer, we're here for the community, and then you sell out right away. Lagunitas did the same thing. New Belgium did the same thing. They're gone now out of craft, right? It sort of lessens that impact of what being craft means if everybody can just dip in and out. And it changes the landscape of craft. Suddenly craft doesn't mean as much anymore. So if what I take issue with is breweries who build their empire on saying what craft is and then they blow that up and leave because they want to make money for everybody. Good intentions, business intentions, doesn't matter. Yeah. That hurts my feelings more than a brewery. What do I care? One company's buy. I don't buy the beer anyway. It doesn't matter to me. It's a non-issue. But in the industry that we're in, I feel very protective of it. Yeah. And to me, I think that sucks. It's like, well, that was it. That was your solution, is just to sell.
I mean, you go into it one idea, and then you get into it, and then you realize that there's other things that are happening, and you have to act on it. I mean, it's not so black and white. I mean,
it's not cut and dry.
Everyone goes in with
I can tell you that I can tell you that the decision and I don't I'm not going to speak on their behalf, but I can tell you that the folks at New Belgium probably thought long and hard about this, and
mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sure,
and we're deciding and probably had other opportunities not to do this, but market forces and what they needed to do for their employees, force their hand and maybe act this way.
Yeah. And you also, and I think that your employees have a lot to do with it, because it's something that you have built and you've brought these people on board with your... All right, I'll stop being vague. So I opened the Hop Grenade in Fort Collins, right? And I brought these people on, and I'm like, we're going to do this. This is my vision, and I believe that we can do this here. And I ended up with this team of amazing people there who believed in it. And from day one, we were in trouble. We're about 2.5 years into it right now. A year ago, last December this time, we thought we had to close. It was a very, very difficult decision of mine. Sully knows about this. I'm talking to him. I'm calling for advice. Financially for me, it was the right thing to do to close the doors.
Yeah.
We were bleeding money. But I believed in the concept, and my team out there believed in it so much that I felt like I was letting them down if I didn't keep going. So I made a new deal with my landlord, and we committed to another year. And I did that not because it would have taken a miracle to benefit me.
Right.
Like if the another year turned things around, which a miracle was required, we had to turn business around by like 300%. Then it would. So it was more for them, and I believed in. And they were like, Justin, we can do this. So we gave it another year. And that other year cost me another $200,000.
Man.
And now we're closing at the end of this month because there's nothing more to do. And those decisions were made kind of like what Sully's talking about. Like it's just not black and white. And by the way, if someone had come in and said, oh, we'll infuse money into it. Mm-hmm. Maybe you have to change this little thing or that little thing, but I would have looked at every one of those opportunities.
Of course.
I would have looked at every one, and I would have done it for my team, the people.
And I'm not saying doing that is bad. Yeah. I never said that.
Yeah.
So well, I just want to make sure you're not talking to me specifically.
No,
I'm
reiterating that nothing is black and white. And when your back's against the wall, you entertain all these ideas, even if you spent the whole time saying we're always going to be independent. We're mm-hmm. all. I actually try to never say never. I never say always, and I never say never. I think I make a lot of mistakes, but that's not one of them. Where I'm like, I'm never going to do this, and I'm always going to do this, because I think that when stuff gets difficult, that's a lot of bullshit. You will always do whatever you can, and you will never try to fuck over your employees or anybody else. So you will, this always in the never attitude and the black and the white, I just don't think it exists. And I think that's what Sully's trying to say too.
I mean, look, you tried to make a go of it out there. You renegotiated with your landlord. You did everything you tried to do, and that's
sure.
So that was your attempt to sort of right the ship.
Yeah. And you do what you have to do, and you do it because you still believe in the idea, even if you have to make adjustments. Or you still believe in the team because you sold them on this idea.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess I just have a hard... I have actually said in the past, I think I'm in line with you in the sense that I've never shunned a brewery for selling out, but I never liked the ones who said, I will never do this and I will never do that, and they sold me on like the craft beer thing. And I think that's a strong point that you're making.
Yeah.
I've agreed with that. I've never liked that, like, okay, well, now I have to go. You were the one who told me that you're craft beer through and through until you die.
Right.
And now you're not. So I think people should be careful about their messaging. But short of that, You just do what you got to do.
No, and again, I totally understand that. Yeah. I respect it. I mean, that's business. I'd be an idiot if I thought otherwise,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But like I'm saying, in the context of being in craft beer, where you're growing your brand based on the messaging, yeah, and then suddenly the message doesn't matter anymore for whatever reason, that still hurts. For you're it protecting hurts. Your employees or whatever, but it still is like, oh, that doesn't feel very good, especially for everybody who bought into the yeah. message your brand was selling. That's not sure. an employee. That's a customer who believes in that,
yeah.
and then news comes out, and you're like, well, then fuck that. That even hurts even more. It's like, it's just, it's a whole thing. Mm-hmm. So all I'm saying is,
all right.
as beer is slowing down in sales, this stuff is going to happen a little more, and I think the term craft beer and that whole thing doesn't mean as much anymore. Or potentially.
It can hurt the brand. I agree that it can hurt the brand of craft beer.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
All right, thank you.
It hurts, but it's not a cardinal sin, and it can hurt the brand of craft beer, because now we're like, oh, okay, well, now I'm just going to take that with a grain of salt, make sure you don't sell out later.
Yeah.
I get that. Yeah.
All right.
All right. Well, that's our beer news for today. Wow.
Well, I'm sorry to hear about the thing, man. That sucks.
You know, it's a bummer. I'm over it in the sense that it's been going on for a long time. It's time to move on to the next chapter in our life.
Yeah.
I am, you know, if anyone out in Fort Collins is listening, I have the best team I ever could have asked for. When it came up that we had to close, you know, some of them were like, wow, you know, we wish we could have done something different. And my answer to them was like, you know what? I totally wish it was your fault. I could have fired you. Mm. I could have replaced you. They work so hard, just day in and day out. And man, like, they're not making tips because no one's showing up. And they still all the time were like, Justin, we love this company. We love your ideas. Like, they were just so supportive of what the Hop Grenade is and why we started it. And I could not be more thankful. I will be out in Fort Collins. Our last day is on the 28th of December. This is another thing I decided to do different. A lot of times when you close the doors of these things, like, employees just show up one day and, like, the fucking door's locked.
Right, right.
These people were so wonderful to me, and the town was also very cool, that I just couldn't do it. So I actually went out and gave them the longest notice possible, which business-wise is a really dumb idea, because everyone's got to go get another job.
They
like, how do you keep the doors open?
Yeah.
These people were like, we're with you, man. We're with you till the end.
That's
so
awesome.
We're actually throwing a party on Saturday, December 28th, because mm-hmm. that's what we do. We like to party.
And free beer for everybody.
I mean, there'll probably be a fair amount of pints given out. It'd be nice if you buy some of it, too.
Yeah.
We've got some inventory to go through. But Saturday, December 28th, all day long, I will be there, and my team will be there.
Nice.
And we're there, actually, not to be sad, but to thank Fort Collins for having us. And I'm looking forward to that day. We get to thank our regulars and have a good time. But, yeah, you know, it's what it is. I'll tell you this. You can't pay for that fucking education. I've learned a lot.
Right.
Boy, right. have I learned a lot over yeah. the last 2 years.
Oh, man.
So come hang out with us on December 28th. I will see you there. When you get there, I hope that maybe you've manscaped, because maybe you're going to get laid that night.
Bro, it's a huge college
right?
town, right?
I mean, there's a lot of people.
Oh.
It's a college town. I mean, who knows what could happen at a hop? We've never had a Hop Grenade closing party before. This could be off the hook. If you go to manscaped.com right now, you can get there. You should probably buy it for people you know need it, too. The Manscaped Perfect Package 2.0.
Yeah, I was just trying to think real fast about what, like, a man in what period of his life needs it more than in the other periods of a life, and I can't figure that out. It's basically just,
I think,
from your 20s on.
Right. And sometimes you don't, and sometimes you do.
Right.
I'm just blown away by that segue.
Thanks, like, buddy. I'm a fucking professional.
Thanks, buddy. I'm professional for crying out loud here. He just poured his heart out.
Literally, yes, you're closing.
Yes. Turn that right into junk talk. That's what...
Wow.
That's my special skill right there. Get the Manscaped Perfect Package 2.0. It has the Crop Preserver, which is an anti-chafing ball deodorant and
yes.
moisturizer.
Right.
Also, it has the Crop Reviver, which I've used recently.
Is that so you can go a second round?
You like no? Oh, you just like you just like if you can't shower,
yeah.
But you need to like clean up a little bit. It's like a wipe.
It's stinky.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. I was gonna like, say something
like in case you're in the Bay Area for like 4 days.
It smells nice. Yeah. The crop reviver smells nice. Yeah, I used them, and then of course. Just the other day, I just did it for fun. Like I wasn't, I didn't.
Funsies.
My balls weren't even getting used, but I was like, I got to try these things.
Getting used,
yeah.
They weren't getting stepped on with a nine-inch stiletto.
But I think most importantly, it comes with the Lawnmower 2.0, which you can shave the whole thing, the whole area.
Yeah.
No cuts, no nicks, no nothing.
I love it.
You don't even have to bat wing this thing. You don't even have to bat wing. You just run it across as if you're running through a field.
That would still freak me the fuck out, man. I think I would still try.
I was worried too.
Yeah.
I did it.
All right.
Just like I was frolicking through sunflowers.
Damn. All right.
No, I've never done that before, but it sounds
truly the most disturbing image of my existence.
Really? Because sunflowers are like 10 feet tall and their stalks are like 3 inches in diameter. Gonna, yeah. That would hurt.
Sunflowers are kind of pointy.
Sorry. You managed to make this weirder every time.
Go and get the Manscaped Perfect Package 2.0. Go to manscaped.com, use coupon code BREWING, and you're going to get 20% off.
Whoa.
Plus free shipping.
Oh! That sounds amazing. It sounds like an amazing product.
That's a deal.
That I'm sure Aaron likes.
Clean up your nuts and make Santa proud this year by getting...
Mrs. Claus proud. Well, he's out about.
Yeah. Backer. I mean, if you're looking for a gift in the man in your life, for the man in your life who like, all right, I know that there's women out there like, I really wish he would just clean that motherfucker up a little more.
Yeah, but sometimes I think women are too
difficult.
Nice to say anything.
Right.
Yeah.
So just subtly give... The
in middle of the office Christmas party. Chuck, look, I know you're my boss, but please open mine first.
Right. Go to manscaped.com, use coupon code BREWING.
There you go.
All right. My balls have never been so clean.
All right. Or so not warm.
Oh, that's what I meant.
Yeah.
Okay. Twitter game.
All right, let's go.
What did we have?
Well, speaking before of Duke Cannon, if you know what I'm trying to say, Doc has opened a new business called Doc Cannon.
Yes.
And I want to know what he did there.
What was his new business, okay?
Pete Dink says, good for Doc going into the flame-throwing vape business.
Okay.
So vapes that are also flamethrowers.
Sounds dangerous.
Which sounds like Doc.
Vaping's already... Have you ever seen, like, they blow up sometimes in people's faces?
Yeah, but so do phones.
Really?
Yeah, laptop. I mean, shit happens. It's a battery. What are you going to do?
All right.
Josh says he literally fires himself out of a cannon. It's all in the name.
Doc Cannon.
Doc Cannon.
Okay.
Which, again, sounds like Doc. Effing Beer says, arms dealer to Chechnya. The ammo is all the teeth he's been collecting over the years.
In Chechnya, we don't have lead.
Yeah, we fire teeth
all
made
lead.
From American mouths.
All lead is used in nuclear programs.
And paint to eat.
Okay.
Tian Brewing says he provides speech language classes to up-and-coming podcasters.
That's funny because
that's
of his slurring.
That's right.
Right.
The Brewer of Seville says he sells big-ass bars of soap made from the tears of divorced men who have been taken to the cleaners.
Oh,
his flagship bar is called Dr. Loveless, comprised of the assets his ex actually let him keep.
Ouch. This must be a divorced person who went for the jugular.
It reeks of despair and disappointment.
Oh, God.
Damn.
Yeah.
Is that his brother? That sounds like Doc's brother.
No, I know who this is. We met him in Rhode Island.
Really?
Him and his nice wife.
Did he take us out for, like, the weird sausages or whatever we ate? Or just it was another person?
I don't think so. It was a different person.
Rhode Island dogs?
God damn. That was harsh.
That was a pretty good one.
I hope Doc's not on Twitter tonight. He'll be like... Who the fuck?
And last but not least, Adam says, when divorce is imminent, Doc arrives at your house like the Cat in the Hat and loads up anything you want to hide from the lawyers and shoots it across the neighborhood to your best brew buddy's house.
Okay. Which, technically, he is very savvy and he could build a launcher like
this. Yes. Yeah. If anybody would do that, he could do that.
Wow.
So a lot. What I like about this is that there's a lot of. I mean, Doc hasn't been on for a while, especially not dishing out sensitive information.
Sure.
Like this. I mean, some of the stuff he hasn't even said since like Martinez.
People are still following along with his divorce.
Yeah.
Is that still going on?
I'm pretty sure it's still going on. So they're not far off. That's why I was wondering if it was his brother. Okay. All right.
So there you go. That's it.
Hmm. Okay.
I like teeth bullets for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what? I wanted to pare him down because I don't like usually this many, but I thought all of them were.
I wrote them all down.
Good.
I usually like weed them out from when you don't.
Yeah,
I still wrote down every one. I think you're right in this case.
Yeah.
I'm gonna get rid of language classes, even though I thought it was funny.
Okay.
Just because we got to do big ass bars of soap, which basically culminate in the scent of despair and disappointment,
made from the tears of divorced men.
Yeah, yeah. I'm leaving that. I'm just naming it. All right, I'm going to get rid of hiding things from lawyers and shooting them out of a cannon to your neighbors. Although it's good. Listen, whoever.
Yeah.
Good job.
There you go.
Firing himself out of a cannon. I like the simplicity of it.
Yeah, it's very obvious.
All right, let's get rid of the flame-throwing vape business. That's not going to happen. Now I'm going for realism. That's not going to happen.
He's probably
going
to sell it out anyway, so go ahead.
Local regulations wouldn't allow that.
So we're down to three. Firing himself out of a cannon. An arms dealer using teeth in Chechnya.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then big-ass bars of soap made from men's tears with a scent of despair and disappointment.
That's got to win. Come on.
Yeah. Sully, what's your vote on that? You're divorced. What do you think about that
one? Tears one. I like the tears one.
You like that one?
Yeah.
All right. Well, there you go, everybody.
Sorry, buddy.
Fine.
It's not too soon. You got over it a week ago.
Exactly. I'm back in the hole, though. Thank you.
Oh, no. Well, you and I can talk then. We'll be fine. All right. Thanks for playing along. And what else? Thank you to Block 3 Brewing for coming in the studio with us and hanging out with us today.
Great beers.
I hope you had fun. I hope you go back to Canada saying at least one nice thing about your trip to California that doesn't involve guns.
Yeah. Or being back in Canada.
You know, last time I went, I crossed the border. It was over on the Vancouver side. Get to the front. Canadian customs agents are so much fucking cooler than U.S. ones. And I get to the border, and he asked me a couple questions, and he says, "Do you have any guns with you?" And I say, "No." And he goes, "Well, then where are they?" And I'm like, I'm nervous because it's customs.
Yeah.
He's like, "I'm fucking with you, man. Everybody in the U.S. has guns, right? Like, where are your guns?" And I was like, "You're fucking hilarious right now.
You got me good."
Coming back in, I get yelled at. I got brought into a private room.
Really?
Well,
they
not
stole
quite,
your banana.
They stole my banana. And my
they
tomato.
Stole your
tomato.
They stole my tomato.
Because you can't bring it over for regulations, or they literally
have tomatoes from Canada. So.
They both.
Okay.
All of those things. Right. I bought the fucking thing in America. The tomato, I was only there for a couple of days. They were just mad at me in general. We got in a fight. It was a fight.
That's weird. It seems like that happens a lot.
I get angry sometimes.
You fight travel.
Should we call Steve? Get you back. Steve.
No. I had another team of them, remember? One of them fired me.
Okay, all right.
The other one didn't fire me. I just don't see him all the time. It's fun. All right. That's it for today. We've got one more show of 2019.
Very happy about this show.
And I think that Bevo is going to work on a little surprise for us on that program.
I'm already working on it.
So it might have a little surprise for our final show of 2019.
Okay, all right.
Who's on with us next week? Is it Sully or...
Not Dr. Sully. I think Teresa next week.
Teresa's on.
I sent my schedule.
Send the schedule today, actually.
Yeah.
I didn't memorize it, sorry.
Well, okay.
Got
I didn't either.
If you're free, and even if Teresa signed up, you should come out too, Sully. Just putting that out
there.
Well, I mean, just for fun. You know.
Santa going to be here?
Yeah.
No, just JP as Santa.
If you make it out, yeah.
There you go. Really?
You'll be Santa. Because he's old.
Whoa. That was hurtful.
Yeah, it wasn't very good either. I apologize.
Yeah, next week is actually Teresa.
Usually when they're hurtful, they're funny.
Yeah.
Will there be gear?
Yeah.
There will be beer and Charlie Bamforth.
There we go.
Oh! Ho!
Hey. All right. Thank you, Block 3.
Thank you so much.
And Graham's falling asleep over there. He's like, fuck you guys.
Graham was loaded when he got here. He didn't even talk about that. He was
I mean, also in his defense, though, it is 3 hours ahead, right?
Yeah.
Are you tired or drunk right now, Graham? What do you think?
Both.
Yes. He's like, yes. That.
Yeah, whatever you said, yes.
All right, guys, I really do appreciate you being here. Yeah, thank you. All right, JP, get us out of here, will you? Thanks, everybody.
Thank you to our show sponsor, More Beer. You can get absolutely everything you need to make great beer at home by going to morebeer.com. Kevin and Graham from Block 3 Brewing Company felt the freedom of breathing American air as they joined us in the studio all the way from St. Jacobs, Ontario, which I'm told is in Canada. I don't know. Join them over at block3brewing.ca. Do you have extra money? If so, head over to patreon.com/earsup and support JP in his quest to become supported monetarily by you. If you love Twitter and homebrew, follow Nate Smith at Nathan Homebrew, Mike McDowell at Tasty McD, and you can unfollow Warren at Another Beardy.
Fuck that guy.
Keep track of JP over on Instagram at Major Jip, and you can find Bevo there as well at Beverly M. Moore. Be sure to find the Brewing Network on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. JP's an asshole. Justin's a nice guy and winning the race. JP's